All right, what's going on, everyone out there on the interwebs? Welcome to episode number 6 of the 22 Shots of Moods and Horror podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy, aka the man who did not have Maniac on his top 10 list of 2013.
I like it.
I am joined, of course, as always, by my co-host, JP, aka the man who hates Pee-wee's Playhouse, and my other co-host, Moods616.
I don't even get to respond to that. I don't even get to say.
Oh,
That's right. I don't just hate Pee-wee's Playhouse. I hate Pee-wee in general.
Oh my God. Oh, it's so disheartening. He's so funny.
We have a full show for you guys tonight. Of course, we're going to be starting off with the news so we can get all this Friday the 13th found footage bullshit out of the way. Then we're going to be jumping into Mood's Corner where we talking about the top 5 horror films from high school that we remember. Then we'll be going to what we watched. Then we're going to be going to a discussion of one of my favorite horror films of the last, 10 years, and that, of course, is Hobo with a Shotgun. And then that shall be it. So let's go right into the news with JP. So go ahead, JP.
Okay, so this past week, there have been some people making videos talking about how the new Friday the 13th film is found footage. Now, this all started, as far as I can tell, I kind of tracked it back to one person, and there's a YouTuber by the name of Wet Movie One. He's pretty popular.
I knew it. We were talking about this last night, and I even said to Jeremy, I said, I know it was Wet Movie One reported some old news, and it went viral.
Yep.
Yeah, it was old news. We actually talked about the same news that he reported on the first podcast.
Yep.
So everybody kind of, what he did was he made a video with bad information. It wasn't necessarily bad. It was just kind of taken out of the. It was kind of twisted a bit because what actually had happened was when the press release for the new Friday the 13th film was released, when they released the date and stuff, March 13th, 2015, they also said that they were thinking about found footage in it. Now, there's this website called horrormovies.ca or something like that. And that's the source where Wet Movie actually got the information from. And that source was dated like November 28th or October 28th, something like that. It was old. And in that information, it said that it's confirmed that it was found footage, which that has never been confirmed at all. And actually, today, some new news hit. And it goes to say... So this is brand new news here. The guy Brad Fuller, who is one of the people in Platinum Dunes, Michael Bay's production company. It's run by Brad Fuller, actually. They produced the 2009 remake. And Fuller recently opened up when asked if Derek Mears would be returning to the role. Fuller answered, this is a quote, "Again, I don't know because I don't know if we're going to have Jason. I don't know which Jason we're going to have. I can tell you this. I love Derek Mears. I love working with him. He's a dream, so we'd be lucky to have him." And then he goes to say, "I'd love to have Mears back. I'd also love to have, Jason Voorhees." Fuller also mentioned that they're not yet 100% locked on a script or the found footage direction. So once again, I'm saying this, it was never confirmed. It was just a thought thrown out there. However, I do like that everybody got all pissy when they believed that it was confirmed, because that's actually a good thing that everybody made videos and was like, this is bullshit, because, they're going to listen to it.
Yeah, but do you really
it,
think they give
possibly.
A shit?
Yeah, they do. If it's been proven that
Google really gave
fucking,
a shit to us, right?
I think that they really should give a shit because... You know, we're the fans, and we're the ones that are going to support these projects. And
it just
fails,
has to be – if we yell loud enough, they will hear it. But the problem is nobody yells loud enough. You've seen time and time again when people – the Kevin Smith Tusk movie, people yelled loud enough that they wanted it, so he's making it. He also goes to say, it's something that we're looking at, the found footage angle. "I never know because it depends on the story. What the story is, it's been reported that's something that we're looking into, but I can't tell you definitely that that's what the movie is. I'm well acquainted with some of the very loud members of the audience who hate found footage, and I understand that. I think for us, it's more about the story, what the story is, and what's the best way to tell it. Until we figure out exactly what the story is for the next Friday the 13th movie, I can't tell you what it's going to be. So right now there's not even a fully, you know, locked script. There's no 100% found footage thing. People just got some bad information that kind of, you know, went a little, you know, like semi-viral in our little movie community world.
That's interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah, it kind of bummed me out when I seen everybody talking about this. I'm like, we already talked about this a month ago or 2 months ago or whatever. And right then, when, like, the same thing with Curse of Chucky, people see, like, new Friday the 13th in the works, could be found footage, and instantly think that that means it's found footage. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's interesting that, you know, they reported that. You know, I mean, there's kind of a hint there that, you know, if we even have a Jason, what are they going to do? Remake part 5?
Well, I was thinking more along the lines of remaking part 1.
Well, I mean, but that's exactly where they shouldn't go, though.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think they should come out with a new original movie that adds on to the franchise. Not a remake, not a reboot, not a thing. Just a new original Friday the 13th like they were been doing for fucking
I think even the idea of remaking the first one is just a poor choice.
Yeah.
I mean,
I do too.
I just don't see how it could ever possibly work.
Even if it's a shitty sequel, at least it's a sequel and people can't bitch that it's a remake or a found footage.
I think even throwing around the idea of not having Jason in the film is a bad idea. I mean,
yeah. Or check this out. It might be a good idea if it's going to be a surprise. Like, if you can pull it off and you can say, like, look, we're not having Jason, and then, bam, halfway through the movie, Jason pops up and you're like, holy fuck, Jason's in this shit. That would be awesome.
Yeah, but that's not going to – you can't do that in Hollywood. There's no way.
Not in modern
times. It would get leaked in 2 seconds.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
The thing. It would just never work.
Yeah. I mean, there have been – cases, I think there have been cases where there's been cameos that haven't been leaked, you know, and actually were surprises, but it's hard to do with something like Friday the 13th. And I think that the found footage idea is bad. I think they're not going to do it, hopefully. I also think that the idea of just, I don't want to see another fucking make, please no. What if they actually... Maybe they're going to fucking actually make it about the holiday Friday the 13th and all kind of bad shit's going to happen.
Like Halloween 3?
It's a joke. That was a joke.
Yes, I understand.
I honestly don't even understand how a found footage film could even be remotely believable. And even toss around the idea doesn't even make sense to me.
Like, I disagreed to that a bit because when we talked about this before, I think that out of like,
But how are they going to link this? This is my only question. How are they going to link this? Are they going to link this to the original series, or are they going to link this to the remake or the reboot or whatever? It'll be just its own. So it's just going to be it's just going to be like another startup and start off with a found footage.
The way I would see it go,
this is what I don't get.
A group of this is what I would predict. It would be a group of kids or know the legend of this killer named Jason Voorhees at this rundown camp called Crystal Lake. They want to document it. They want to Blair Witch style it. They roll up in there. Don't see nothing but leaves crunching and shit. And
so then, like every other found footage film that's come out.
Yeah,
exactly. They want to make a documentary.
There's nothing new to the found footage.
I agree. I think it's a bad idea, but I'm saying if done absolutely right, I think that it could fucking actually work if done right, but there's no way you're going to do that right. You're going to have to be inventive and it's going to have to be new and fresh, but I'm just saying if you're not going to do that on Haddonfield Street, you know, you're not going to do that on Elm Street. You know, in the woods, Friday the 13th, I think that it kind of fits if you're going to make any like franchise of found footage. Franchise after it hasn't been a found footage franchise.
Yeah,
I guess
Friday
the 13th is the best one that you're going to be able to do.
I mean, if you compare it to those other franchises, of course, because Friday the 13th takes place in the woods, and what no better place? And I mean, it's not like it hasn't been
it's
done
still
before.
It's still a terrible idea.
It really is.
I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate, and you know, I kind of want to, you know.
But my only question is though, most found footage films are, you know, made on minuscule budgets, so they kind of They kind of work on that level. On that level, right?
That's exactly why they're that just totally makes sense. That's exactly why they're thinking about it, because you can make a Friday the 13th for $6 million, and if it's found footage or in space or whatever, you will make that $6 million back just by fans' curiosity alone. Like, instantly. It'll be a $20 million opening weekend, easy. Yeah, instant profit.
So they're just intending to make a purposely low-budget film then?
Yeah, with the probably. Intention
of just exploiting the subgenre of fucking found footage to make
They
money.
Have no intention of making a creative, you know, putting their heart into it movie. The Friday the 13th has never
been about that. See, my problem is that they're going to put some money into this film, make it found footage, and it's going to look overproduced because everything in the film is going to be, you know,
perfect,
good effects and stuff, but it's found footage. I'd be like, oh my God, this is like Hollywood at its worst right here. You know, you can't found footage films, the whole point of them is to be low budget and kind of shoddy made. Like, it's supposed to be real, right?
It's going to make me mad. Like, it's going to piss me the fuck off.
I don't found footage. God damn, dude. I can feel my
I'm
blood
such a lover of the
right
series
now.
And it just sucks.
It just sucks that it has to come to that though. I mean, if it actually goes through, fuck me, man. I don't know.
What would you do with the series? What would you do with the series right now?
Well, first of all, I would never consider making a found footage film. That's for starters.
Yeah.
I mean, that just wouldn't even
cross my mind. That's something that you say, like, as
I'm not
like
really
a
too sure.
Joke.
I'm not really too sure, because what they did with the reboot, like, I think I would probably want to. I don't fucking know. Screw it. Just make a Jason versus Freddy part two.
Right? Yeah. I wish they could. You know? No, honestly, I would make a sequel to the remake, because I don't think it works. If you was going to go back to the original series, where do you pick it up? Do you pick it up after part four? Do you pick it up after, you know, part 9? Do you pick it up after part 8?
Part 8.
Do you pick it up after part 10?
Forget part 9 and 10 ever happens.
Part 8.
Yeah, right after. Right after Jason on the love boat, you know, you go into something else. So
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I actually heard a person's idea about this before on another podcast, The Skeleton Crew, I believe. And his idea was, after Jason melted up in the city of New York in the sewers, you know, he was transformed back into a little boy at the end of the film, right? I mean, it was stupid, but that's what happened. Mm-hmm. His body floated out into the New York River and floated back to Crystal Lake, and he was a boy again. And
Because that always happens. It's realistic. It's realistic, though.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that you can get to fucking New York from Crystal Lake, anyways.
I know that's the most.
So why not, right? I mean, but you know, so the you know, he starts from a kid again, you know, and like, I kind of, that's all right, I guess. Anyway, enough Friday the 13th talk. It's going to take up the whole show.
If we keep talking. We'll be here for 4 hours.
You know, I think everybody in the world agrees that found footage is a bad idea. So I think maybe that's why they're pulling away from it, because they say right there in the quote that he's noticing fans are not liking that. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Next up, there was a trailer for, an Eli Roth produced film called Clown, and I guess it's pretty scary. I didn't watch it.
It's pretty
I'm done with trailers.
Is it just called Clown?
Yeah.
Yeah, but wow, honestly,
that title alone is major creative, though.
Why is there not more horror films that are horror, like straight up horror films involving clowns? Why?
I think they make a lot of low micro budget killer clown films, but in mainstream kind of films,
that shit sucked.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of really bad ones, but yeah, they don't make a lot of mainstream.
And Clown House.
What about Stitches?
That's not that's core comedy.
I suppose so.
Suppose?
Well, yeah, I guess. Well, you know what I meant, JP.
Than horror. All right, but anyway, I think it's a good, you know, Eli Roth.
Well, All Hallows Eve is pretty fucking horror, and that's Clown. So.
Well, that's awesome. I'll have to check it out then. So, Eli Roth producing that, you know, it's on my radar just from the buzz that it's getting right now. Next up, Uwe Boll, that guy. You know, everybody know that guy or whatever. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing his name right.
Yeah, he's a great director, man. He's awesome.
Well, he made a film called Rampage, which I actually think I've seen. I think it was
the one with the guy with the guns on the cover?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that movie is by far his best. He's made some real piece of shit movies, well, man. And he's actually known for making, but Rampage, awesome movie, man.
Yeah, he says, the article actually says, you know, Uwe Boll is directing a sequel to Rampage, his only good movie.
Actually, it is kind of crazy, though, because that one really does stick out in his catalog. Like, it's a really well-made movie, but making a sequel to it, really?
I guess it's already started filming, so that's happening.
That's interesting. Interesting.
It comes out before Leprechaun, the fucking movie, comes out.
Yeah, I know, right? Next up, Purge 2 is going to be take place in a upscale suburban thing, and there's going to be...
That sounds like the first movie already.
Upscale suburban?
None of the same characters. And I think it's...
Wow, I can already see the ending of part two. It's going to be very reminiscent of part one.
I think the whole movie is going to be very reminiscent of part one.
No, I think it's going outside and it's going to be in a war zone type area, like where shit's popping off and people are just trying to survive.
I mean, it was kind of where it should be going, though. I mean, they can't do another, if they do another house setting, you're just remaking the first one.
Well, they say it's going to be a look at the Purge from a different angle.
Yeah, so you take it to the streets where everything is, like, you know, crazy.
Yeah.
After that, Shout Factory announced another title, Dead Shadows. I think this is a newer title, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like the Cockney Zombies and Dead Souls and stuff like that.
Well, I think this new movie is actually another, I think it's another chiller film.
I'll have to look.
Okay, it says that it's a French horror action thriller. And it's going to include the, you know, original French track with subtitles along with the English dub track.
Cool. Awesome.
Fuck you, English dub.
I don't know when that comes out. Also, I don't know exactly when, but I think Nightbreed has been pushed back again or something.
Yeah, till fall.
Fall, okay. Yeah.
I kind of predicted that, too. I even said that it's probably not going to drop until 2015 because it keeps getting worse.
We have Twin Peaks. I guess there's going to be like some, there was some like press type thing released saying that they're looking for some kind of promo or something, and directed by David Lynch, January 7th, 2014. It's like a casting call or something. So I don't know what the hell it is.
So it's like a reboot, or is he just redoing?
It might be like new footage. It might be like, it was a casting call to Twin Peaks promo. That was what it was called. So, who the fuck knows? It might be like a commercial. I don't even know.
Interesting.
I did pick up the Twin Peaks gold box set thing, which I've still not watched any of it, but I plan on it really soon. But I know there's a lot of fans of it out there, so I thought I'd throw that in the news. I promise next
week... How's that in the news and not fucking Pee-wee, damn it?
Something about Pee-wee, Jeremy told me to say.
There's Pee-wee's like Playhouse is coming out on Blu-ray, the entire series.
Yeah, that's what
from
it was.
Shout Factory.
Oh, the entire series?
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah, and it's released by Shout Factory.
You mean to tell me that show has more than one like episode?
It has like 60 episodes.
It was like two seasons, but there's a lot of episodes.
That's the news this week. Next time I'll be more prepared. Sorry.
All right. Cool. Lots of interesting news, lots of stuff that we could debate about for hours, but so now we're gonna go into a question that Moods asked 2 weeks ago, and that, of course, was the top five horror films from our high school days. I don't really think that was really our top five, but, you know, movies that stuck out to us when we were in high school.
Yeah,
so,
not when they came out, the years that they came out, just actually when you was there. Like, you, even if you've seen them later, you know, past your high school years, that doesn't count. It's the ones that came out and you've seen them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that time.
Just take the years that you went to high school and the movies that came out in those times. I mean, we all saw movies when we were in high school, so which ones meant the most to you?
Going through the list, I realized, like, man, my horror in my high school was kind of sad.
I had some good stuff. A lot of low budget. I mean, a lot of, you know, indie stuff, not very much.
This was what was so interesting about the question, because we kind of – well, you guys went to high school relatively around the same time, but I went to high school at a time where horror was fucking dead.
What years did you go to high school from?
94 to 98, which is that – transitional period in the 90s when, you know, big budget horror movies weren't being made. I mean, they still were, but not on the scale of the 80s, right?
Yeah.
So, and, but it is a very interesting time. So, but I'll get into my list. So you guys can go ahead with yours.
We're just going to name them off fast.
Sure.
All right. Number five, I said The House of the Devil. Number four, Rubber. Three, I actually gave to Grave Encounters, which is an awesome found footage flick, in my opinion. Two VHS and one Hobo with a Shotgun, of course.
Somehow, I fucked up. I thought I went to how many years? You're in high school for 4 years, right?
Yeah.
Why do I think that I was in high school in 2006? It feels like I was.
You probably were.
2006 to 2010? Is that 4 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hobo with a Shotgun, we're obviously going to talk about that one.
Yep.
House of the Devil, actually have those were the like most like important noticeable films for you when you was in high school.
Yep. Yeah. You know, I was the only one watching these low budget.
Yeah.
You know, shit.
Yeah, because mine's drastically different.
Yeah.
This is way more indie than mine.
Yeah.
Mine. These are in no order. I don't think we had to order them, right?
Nah.
No.
Okay. Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Beginning. When that came out on DVD, I bought it first day. Used to watch it with girls all the time, partying and stuff. We'd just sit over and watch Texas Chainsaw. I'd make them watch it like the 30 times. I actually really liked it at the time. I like it a little less now. Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Beginning was pretty cool back then, though. Then The Hills Have Eyes, which
yeah, I was gonna put that
came
on
out,
list,
but dude, that kind of got me back into like the full swing of horror. I was like, that was fucking so dope. It's one of my all time favorite remakes.
Yeah, it is my favorite remake. I love that.
It's
film.
It's really good, isn't it?
It's really good.
It's a really good remake.
Yeah.
And then after that, Hostel 2. I was such a huge fan of the first Hostel. Like, it was to me, it was like I'd never seen anything like it at the time. You know. All the crazy like torture stuff, like
his favorite time, word, torture porn.
I didn't see it.
Ugh.
I didn't see anything like that. And I remember renting, buying Hostel 2 when it first came out. And I had a friend who was like, would not like he kept leaving the room because he couldn't watch it. He was like a pussy about it. and then after that, Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
When that came out. 2007, I've watched it every Halloween since. Such a big part of my high school time. And then finally, Friday the 13th, the remake. When that came out, it was such a big deal to me. And I watched, I invited a friend over, the same friend who was a pussy and couldn't watch Hostel 2. and we watched every single Friday the 13th during that week because I didn't go to school like that whole week. Because I think it was in the summer, right? Yeah, it was in the summer, I think. It might not have been. Anyway, I wasn't in school, if it was during school or not. And we watched every Friday the 13th, and his name was Jason, and then went and seen it, and there was, like, a huge group of, like, 20 of us. It was, like, really awesome. And the first, like, you know, pre-credit scene, one of the best experiences I've ever had in the theater. Afterwards, it's okay.
Nice.
All right.
So that's the five.
Yep.
Jurors five moods.
All right. So yeah, of course, I went to high school in the years of 1994 to 98. Like I said before, it was such a weird time for horror films. It's too bad I didn't go to high school in the 80s. This list would have been amazing, but hard to make. This one actually wasn't so hard. I basically came up with five that, you know, popped into my mind right away. From 1994, a film called Brain Scan.
Yeah.
I've actually
Eddie Furlong, out of print, yeah. Hard to get now.
I saw this movie when it first came out, and I was like 14 years old, and it just fucking blew my mind, because the whole video game aspect, you know, I was 14 years old, and I loved video games, and it worked perfectly. I was a big fan of Edward Furlong, too, because of Terminator and stuff, and so having that recognizable face in a horror film was pretty fucking cool. Yeah, man. It always stuck with me. I watched that movie over and over again all through my years. And yeah, so, from 1995, I think I actually got the soundtrack to this movie before I seen the movie. Of course I did, because, you know, everybody knows me. I'm a big hip hop fan. And Tales from the Hood soundtrack came out, I think, around the exact same time as the film did. But man, Tales from the Hood anthology film fucking blew my socks off. I watched that shit like hundreds of times in high school. It was like my favorite thing. you know, from the time that, you know, the years I went to high school. So
hell yeah,
such a great soundtrack, great film.
I think they incorporated the Spice One Born to Die song in there, like, perfect.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
So 1995, yeah, and then 96 came along, and obviously the biggest film that came out in 1996 for the horror genre, I would say, was Scream. Yep. And it definitely meant a lot because that kind of, man, the buzz around that film was insane, and I got to see it in the theater, and I was really impressed. You know, I was 16 years old, so very impressionable too. I'm just like, this is like the kind of vamping of slashers. And I don't know. It was just a fun fucking
Scream
movie.
Is such so an important well. Film in horror history.
Yeah, because it really did. It kind of resurrected the horror genre for all types of subgenres of horror, in my opinion. After 96, everything kind of, there was a lot more films coming out. I mean, we went through the list of films in the 90s one time, JP, and we were laughing. It's just crazy. Yeah,
it really is.
Like, from year to year, there's so little films compared to if you compare the 90s to the 80s and even the 70s and stuff. It's just such a downslide. But you do notice that, you know, towards the end of the 90s, there's a little more. But also another film that came out in 1996 is, you know, half horror, half action, drama, whatever the fuck you want to call it. It's From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah.
So I also saw that in the theater, which, of course, meant a lot to me. I loved a lot of movies I saw in the theater growing up always meant a lot to me. It was that experience, right? But that movie fucking blew my socks off because I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, right? It just, you know, you go from kind of an action heist film to, you know, full-on vampire fucking craziness. And the cast was awesome. I loved the cast. And it just meant a lot. I watched that movie hundreds of times, I swear. And last up, this is kind of a surprise, but this one came out the year I graduated. I saw this one in the theater also, and I just loved it. This is why this movie makes my top 10 of John Carpenter films of all time, is Vampires. I know it's not a great film by any means, but I personally love
it. What year did Ghosts of Mars come out?
I think 97? No.
Ghosts of Mars was awesome.
No, Ghosts of Mars came out.
I do like Ghosts of Mars, though. I know I actually hate it.
I actually don't remember that movie. I can't remember. No, I think it was 2001. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
But anyways, Vampires came out in 1998, and it was kind of a stick-out film for me then because, once again, I saw it in the theater. But I've always been a big fan of James Woods, and he's just kind of, you know, overacting in the film at times, and the effects are kind of cheesy. And it's not John Carpenter's best work, but it's so much fun. It's very enjoyable for a vampire film. So those are the five that meant the most. Like I said, three of them being I saw in the theater, Tales from the Hood being... You know, it's up there in my favorite anthologies of all time, and cool. Can't go
Dude,
wrong with
I
Prince.
I just realized that I got confused counting 4 years. Did you? That's fucked up.
Hilarious.
It's okay, wow. JP. We forgive you. Wow.
All right, so we're not going to do. Mood Swings is going to be a thing that I'm probably going to swing back and forth from, you know, random weeks or whatever. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm just gonna ask a question for, you know, for listener participation. You guys can comment in the videos and stuff, but this is also for us next week to answer too, so we can do the same type of thing. It's just what I'm going to do is these simple top five kind of lists, very easy to answer and stuff. So this week's question is going to be your top five horror films from 1978. The reason why I picked 1978 is because it is the year my favorite horror film of all time came out, and I find that year has a lot of really cool films that came out. You'd be surprised the amount of awesomeness.
Dude, everybody's gonna have the same number one probably.
Well, Halloween and Dawn of the Dead both came out, so
interchangeable.
But that's the thing, right? But there is a lot of other really good films.
There's a lot of other good movies.
Yeah, more interested in like 5 through 2.
Yeah, exactly. So but yeah, it's a simple question.
Good,
very
good question.
Very easy. And yeah, 1978. So if you guys want to answer that, and we will have our list next week. So
all right. Cool. So that is our news and mood swings corner segment. And we'll be jumping in now to this could be a pretty interesting segment this week.
I have a feeling.
That is the films we watch, because I watched some shit on the shit sticks this week. And when I watch some shitty films, I let them have it. So who wants to go first?
Well, you know what, Jeremy? Why don't you start? Because I have a feeling this week is going to be fucking hilarious, man.
The first film that I'm going to give a beating to is going to be Cube 2, which I watched a few days ago. So I know JP thinks the film is okay, and I know he thinks it's at
I didn't
least
say that. I
you
didn't
did
say that.
Too. You said it's okay.
I said it's not that bad. It's not the worst film I've ever seen, bad.
It's not the worst film I've ever seen, but it's pretty fucking terrible.
You said it's one of the worst.
Yeah, it's in my top 10 worst films I've ever seen. Because, for one thing, the fucking acting is fucking horrendous in this movie.
Let me ask you something. Was you expecting to like it? Like, did you not know the quality of it?
No, but I did not think...
It was the actual question. Like, because you come off the first Cube, if you don't know too much about Cube 2, you'd be like, all right, Cube 2, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Because...
Until you pop it in and you're like, what the fuck is this CGI animated kill bullshit that happens throughout the film that just... The storyline just blew my mind. Seriously. They're like in like this hyperactive...
The Hypercube was cool?
This hyperactive computer cube. And they are like alternate dimensions. And it's like, I'm watching, I'm going, what the fuck am I watching? Seriously. They're like transporting from dimensions. And it's just... There's this one lady and they would fucking Alzheimer's. And it's just so fucking annoying. It's like... I just wanted to fucking jump through the screen and punch her in the face as I'm watching this movie because this old lady is so annoying. And it's like, what's up with the lesbian side themes between this blonde and this blind Asian chick? I mean, there's totally an Asian fucking lesbian type thing going on between these two chicks, and I just found it freaking hilarious. I just love in the Q movies, they have to have a person with some kind of disability in fucking
what actually makes sense in the first Cube.
Yeah, in the first Cube, at least it's an interesting concept because it hasn't been done before.
Yeah, so just why not roll with it for the sequels, right? Even if it doesn't make sense, just have someone disabled and that'll make the movie.
Yeah. And then after it got to the scene with the guy getting killed by the Hypercube with the CGI, it was just fucking horrendous. And point, I knew that I was watching a shit on the shitter stick film at that point.
The CG in that movie is fucking horrendous. It really is bad.
It's like, when they die, they get like, it's like, why the fuck don't they get up? All they're doing is sitting there and screaming. It's like, why the fuck don't you get up and actually do something? Like, how the fucking annoying lady dies with the wall, like, freezing her. It's like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Why the fuck don't you get up and actually do something instead of just sitting there screaming your head off? But, yeah, the Cube 2.
Let me tell you about my Cube 2 experience. So, Cube 1 came out in like 95 or 96 or somewhere around there, right? 99? Somewhere. When it came out, I rented it, dude, and I fucking loved it. It was such a blind rent thing. Everybody was like, this shit looks stupid. And my aunt was the one that actually rented it. And I loved it. So I always was a huge fan of it. I watched it when it aired on TV. And then I, 2002, little me in 2002, I was watching the Sci-Fi Channel like I did regularly on the weekends. And I see a promo for Cube 2, and I'm like, what? I didn't even know this shit was out. And they're like, you know, premiering, you know, this Saturday or something. I was so excited, dude.
That's because when Cube 2 came out, the producers, they didn't tell anybody. They didn't want anybody to know that it came out.
They didn't want anybody to know the shit.
Well, no, because it's actually a directed sci-fi. It's a sci-fi original, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think it is.
So I was like so excited, dude. They ran the promo over and over again. I was like, I went and got my VHS, my VCR, and I was going to record it off the TV. The hour before it came on, it ate my only recordable tape. I hurried up and called my friend. I was like, you got to record me Cube 2. And like, because I couldn't watch it. I had to go somewhere or something. So he recorded me Cube 2. And I get home the next day and I'm like, dude, like, I bring Cube 2 up, man. He's like, it wasn't very good. And I'm like, yeah, right, man. You just fucking don't know about movies. And I watched it, dude. I was almost to the point where I didn't want to take back my words. And I was like, it was all right. But I haven't seen it.
It was an all right piece of shit.
I haven't seen it since. It was terrible from what I remember, but I don't think it's like the worst movie I ever seen. That would go to Beneath the Mississippi.
But yeah, so I gave Cube 2 a 2.5 out of 10 on the shittiness scales of shit.
Wow. All right. My turn?
Yep. That's pretty generous.
Yeah, pretty
generous. I feel like it should be Mood's turn since I just told my Cube story. Go ahead, Mood's.
Okay, what do I want to talk about first here? I'll just grab this one. So I watched this movie the other night. released by Image, came out in 2010. It's a film from the UK, and it goes by the name of Cherry Tree Lane.
Oh, I have that movie too.
Oh, man. This is a home invasion type film, basically about these fucking hoods that break into this house to...
I love hoods, British hood horror. Hoods horror.
Yeah,
those
yeah.
Things. I like those guys. Like Eden Lake, like those kind of guys, like kids.
Yeah, this movie does not fit in that.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, these hoods break into this house and they're looking for the son of this cop or whatever. They're having like a nice little dinner and shit. So anyways, the son is not home. So what they do is they basically tie up the father. They beat the shit out of him. You know, the wife ends up. Yeah, it's very much like that. But, so, and basically they're just staked out in the house waiting for their son to come home because he did something to these hoods and they're going to teach him a lesson, possibly kill him, whatever. And that's basically the entire film. It's just these hoods in this house fucking beating the shit out of this father, doing nasty shits to the mom and just waiting. This movie is filled with horrendous dialogue, insanely unlikable characters. You're not supposed to like these characters, obviously, but they are so fucking stupid and ignorant and just fucking dumb. And to top it off, one of the characters, not the main guy, he's just such a fucking dick douche fucking asshole, but his friend is this hood with a fucking heart. You know, he's kind of like saying nice things and trying to do nice things. And he's like feeding the dad. Oh, dude, it's just fucking, it was pissing me off the whole time. But really, like mixed with really bad dialogue, it's not really shot that well. And the ending is just fucking horrible. It's just so stupid and just dumb. And like, there's one point in the film where basically the lead hood guy, he calls up not his actual girlfriend, but a girl that he knows, to bring over like a weapon, you know, like a fucking hatchet or something like that. And I'm thinking to myself, why wouldn't you, if you're going to go to this house to do this, why wouldn't you be prepared with a weapon, first of all? Anyways, this girl shows up with her friend and her friend's younger brother. And this kid's like 10 years old and they're just like sitting there and it's so fucking pointless. The movie drags on and it only runs 77 minutes. It's terrible dialogue. It's actually one of the worst home invasion films I think I've ever seen. It's just completely pointless.
It's easy to fuck up the home invasion genre. It really is easy to fuck it up.
But there's just so much going, like there's just, it's such a, there's no point to this movie at all. It's really fucking poorly made. And even one of the hoods that comes in the house, he's like this white kid. And there's really no reason for him to even be there. They kind of show him upstairs. He's kind of, you know, stealing things. And he's just kind of there. He's not really doing anything. It's just really fucking poorly
written. Jeremy, what the hell are you doing?
And even acted. You know, it's really acted bad. And
sorry, I'm OCD.
Yeah, so Cherry Tree Lane, one of the worst fucking home invasion films I've ever seen. Of course, released by Image. They really know how to put out some good shit sometimes. But yeah, if I had to rate this one, I don't know, man. Maybe like a 2 out of 10.
A 2? Worse than Hypercube?
Dude,
there's no way.
Have
you seen Hypercube 2?
I was livid watching this movie. It was so bad. I hated every minute of it. Like,
man, it sounds like me with Bloody Homecoming. God damn.
This movie, like, I couldn't get over how poorly written the dialogue was and stuff. It didn't even, there was nothing intriguing about anything about this movie. It's just a really bad entry into the home invasion, you know, subgenre of horror films. So stay away from Cherry Tree Lane. It's, straight up.
I paid $1.50 for it.
It's fucking bad. It's terrible. Wow. I think I paid about the same, but man, seriously. Whew, it was not good.
All right, JP.
All right. You know what? This week, guys, I kind of watched some like films that are like barely horror. Like it just kept happening for some reason. I don't know. So I watched a film called The Snowtown Murders. IFC Midnight put this out. It's from the year 2011, I believe.
Curious to see what you have to say about this because me and Moods have the same opinion about this film.
To me, this film was just, I'm like kind of conflicted on how I truly feel about it. I think that it had some all right elements, but at the end of the day, I think it really was affected by just me not giving a fuck about the characters. They just didn't set them up properly for you to, you know, feel any of the terrible things that was happening to them. It deals with, you know, pedophilia and rape. male on male rape. And it's just, it's based on a true story. I felt that it was Snowtown Murders. The film's called The Snowtown Murders.
I totally missed you say that. Sorry. That was my bad.
Yeah. I felt like it was just, it wasn't set up properly to really develop the characters in order for you to feel it was still fucked up, but it was really uncomfortable and just, I don't know. And I know it's supposed to be like that, but it almost felt like
that meeting all the time just pissed me off.
The what?
That meeting all the time just pissed me off.
Eating?
They ate a lot, every fucking scene they're eating.
I think the idea behind that is to set up the fact that this is a family.
Yeah,
I know
there's
an
imagery behind it, but it's like... I
totally get you. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't done. And this film like got a lot of praise. Like it has a bunch of quotes on the cover and like awards and shit.
I honestly didn't understand it either because I kept hearing a lot of people talk about it on YouTube and a lot of reviews and stuff. And I finally checked it out and the same opinions, man. I was like, what is so... Yeah, there is some disturbing parts in this film. Obviously, we know what we're, you know, all thinking right now.
Yeah.
But what the fuck, man? It wasn't that well made at all. There was so many things about this movie that bugged me, and I thought it was a little... It was really long, too, isn't it?
It was. I think it was like 2 hours or some shit.
That was another thing that bugged me. I thought a lot of shit in the film was dragged on and was just kind of pointless. And, you know, after reading about, you know, the real story and stuff, I think the movie was really poorly done.
Okay, but that... I was actually going to bring that up. I found it a bit confusing also. I don't know if it was so long to where I just kind of fell in and out of interestedness and I was like, you know, not paying attention. But after I started reading about the real life story, things started making a little bit more sense because they did kind of follow pretty closely of what actually happened. But I just think they kind of did it poorly.
What I thought. Yeah, it's just done poorly.
Anything?
I don't really know about it. It's like, but at the same time, like, I think it was kind of shot well.
Bizarre, yeah. I'm not a huge fan of this movie, so.
Yeah. Did you feel like there was no, like, I don't know, like, it just felt like there was no, like, fight back, or, like, it seemed like everything just, like, happened. Like, there was no resistance, like. You know what I mean? Like, none of the characters felt like real people. Like, they didn't feel like they were, you know, resisting any of the bad shit that was happening to them.
Yeah, the rape just kind of, like, they didn't do anything. It's like, why is this person just not doing anything?
Yeah.
I know, I could not understand
and
that either.
And if it was a case if it was a case where they was just totally mentally beat down and just was tired of fighting, then they didn't show that.
I kind of get that feeling. That's what the brother was. Why he happened? Why shit didn't really get any? You know, nothing really came of it. Is because of that reason he was so mentally fucking drowned by what was happening and shit. So I don't know. I think it's also just the upbringing too. I think they're kind of getting at this family is real fucked up and shit isn't normal. So.
I will say the one performance I thought was really kind of well done was the main like killer guy, like the stepfather. I thought he was actually pretty convincing in the film. The scene with the dog was really well done.
But we've seen that before, you know.
That's brutal.
Yeah, it actually kind of made me like pissed off and sad.
Yeah,
like,
I was super fucking pissy, but I hated that part.
Yeah, so I would give the Snowtown Murders a 6.5 out of 10.
Yep. All right. Okay. Next film I'm going to talk about is a pretty fun, interesting film. I think it came out in 2012 or 2011, and that is the film Mold, which Moods recommended to me, which is a really fun, low-budget film that is about the U.S. government trying to create a strain of mold that will be able to attack their enemy in a silent way without anybody knowing what's going on. And
is it splintery mold?
What?
Like the movie Splinter?
I haven't seen Splinter, so I don't know.
It's not. I'm just saying. Splintery mold's pretty cool.
Alright, but so of course the mold gets, you know, leaked in this testing facility and, you know, shit starts to go down. And the film definitely has one of my favorite characters in recent memories in the general of this U.S. government moods. Do you agree that the general is a fucking hilarious-ass character?
Oh, dude, the general is so funny.
He's
that
so funny. Fucking hilarious.
He's awesome, yeah.
But I definitely thought that the film would have been more interesting if we would have saw an aspect of, you know, the mold escaping this facility and actually, you know, wreaking havoc on, you know, the world. But it wasn't like that. A sequel would be interesting to see if they would do that. But it's pretty much just this mold in this small, you know, testing facility and the characters trying to survive. It's really low budget, you know.
Okay, so it was more of a budgetary constraint on why they really couldn't, you know, go out and about and shit, right?
Yeah, and it has some pretty. What do you think, Moods? Go ahead.
I don't know. I think that I think what they did with it, you know, it having it leak out inside the test facilities and stuff, I think it was actually kind of a cool idea. They didn't really need to bring it outside, because if you're creating something inside a lab and then it's one of those lab kind of gone wrong kind of deal things, I think it works.
Yeah. Let me ask you this: is there any sense of claustrophobia?
No.
It's not that type of movie. The way you set it up, I kind of pictured it in this.
It depends how you look at it, because it is all set in kind of small rooms and stuff. So I mean, it depends on how you watch it, I guess. Right?
I think that's an angle that's completely underused when you set something in a single location. This fucking mold in a small location, I think that a claustrophobia should be a part of it. But, you know, I haven't seen the movie. I don't know what kind of movie it is.
Just watch the trailer and you'll understand. It's not your typical, you know, movie. It's super, super, super low budget. It has some cool effects, but it's definitely a fun film. I know I saw like 8 copies at Blockbuster when I was there a few days ago. So, you know.
Did you review this one, Moods?
No. Oh, yeah, Moods reviewed it.
No, I actually never did.
I never remembered you talking about it before.
Because, I shit you not, man, the week that the whole Fright Tube fucking fell apart there, that was my review for that week. So I technically never did review it, so. But yeah.
It's an unreleased review by Moods.
It's an unreleased, yeah. But,
Mold, really fun, interesting movie. I had a lot of fun with it. You don't have to take it serious for what it is. Just go into it wanting to have a good time, and you'll have a good time. So I gave it a 7 out of 10 on that one.
I actually like the concept, so.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a super fun movie, man. I really enjoyed it. It's worth it just to watch The General.
Yeah, The General is one of my favorite characters in a long time. He's funny as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Moods, what's your second film that you watched this week?
All right, so I watched the first of actually 2 anthologies this week. This one came out in, I don't know when the fuck this came out, a couple years ago, I believe, 2012. So this is relatively newer. I know JP has seen this film.
Theater Bazaar.
Yeah, this is the Theater Bazaar. I'd never seen this film until this week.
It actually surprised me that you never seen that film. It seemed like something that would have been on your radar when it came out.
Yeah, well, it was on my radar, and I just could never find it for the right price. I ended up paying just a couple dollars for this, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But The Theater Bazaar is, you know, an anthology film consisting of 6 shorts running around 20 minutes apiece. It's basically about this girl the wraparound story, if you want to call it a wraparound story.
That wraparound story is, like, dumb.
It's not even really a wraparound story. It's just basically about a girl that goes into this theater, and all of a sudden, these shorts start being played to her, so that's basically all it is. But the first short in the anthology is called Mother of Toads.
I like this one.
And it takes place in France, and it's about this guy that's kind of looking for like a real copy of the Necronomicon. And he gets told to go to this, I guess, what do you want to call her? She's kind of like a witch or something like that?
She's a witch.
Yeah, anyways, he ends up at this chick's place, or this witch's place, and it turns out that the copy that she has is actually real, and some crazy shit goes down.
So it's kind of like, is it kind of like that John Carpenter film from Master of Horrors, the first episode from the first season, with Loomis?
No, I don't think it's kind of like, no, I would say it's a little different. This one kind of turns bizarre.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I thought this one was pretty cool. It actually has some pretty cool effects and stuff. I really like the effects when his girlfriend after. I don't really. You can't really say too much about these shorts because I don't really want to give too much away.
Yeah, you can't.
Because they're so short, it's kind of reached the point. But I did like the effects with the toads and stuff that were on the girl. You know what I'm talking about, JP?
Yeah, yeah.
In the car.
It's been a while since I've watched this one, but I remember liking that segment. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain, but like, this guy ends up doing some shit with this witch, and it's a really cool segment. I actually really enjoyed it, so I do recommend that one. The next one is called "I Love You." This was basically set in an apartment. It's about this couple that are obviously breaking up. I think the woman is basically trying to, or she's already left this guy, and he's very controllable.
I found this one to be shot really well, from my memory. I don't know if that's.
Yeah, basically what it
or
is.
Or it kind of had a cool look to it, or there was a lot of white or something. I don't know.
There was
something
yeah.
that I liked about it.
It's all shot in this apartment, and it's basically this guy who's super paranoid about his wife, and he thinks that, you know, she's possibly cheating on him and stuff, and it turns out that she actually is cheating on him. She totally tells him straight up. So he just fucking loses his mind and shit. And this one turns actually really bizarre, too. It's pretty much all I'm going to say. But it's them kind of fighting it out, and you know, things are being revealed throughout their fights and stuff about the relationship. But I think that one is starring, yeah, Udo Kier is the guy in this film, in the shorts. So it was okay. It turned out to be decent for short, but kind of uninteresting a little bit, in my opinion.
I remember liking that one.
Yeah, it was okay. Like, I wouldn't say I disliked it, but it was all right. Next one is called Wet Dreams.
Now, honestly, this is the one that I found to be the most disappointing. Tom Savini directed.
Yeah, this one's directed by Tom Savini, and it's basically another kind of couple story about this guy that's having these crazy visions of having his penis cut off and stuff like that. And Tom Savini plays a shrink. So this guy, he's going to see Tom Savini, and Tom Savini's, you know, kind of giving him, well, advice or treating him in like a Freudian way kind of deal. And his nightmares kind of turn to, like, you know, almost realities and stuff. And this one was kind of disappointing. It had lots of potential, but by the end of it, you're kind of going,
do you remember the vagina, like, monster thing? Or what was it, a crab or something, I remember?
Yeah, yeah. Read the beginning. Yeah, so basically,
like, what
how
the fuck was that?
Basically, how it starts out is you see this girl, she's kind of stripping, and it's panning down on her. You see her nice naked boobs, and then it pans right to her pussy.
Her nice
naked
boobs.
It pans down to her pussy, and it's got like this crab kind of coming out of her vagina, and he kind of moves forward towards her, and all of a sudden, fucking his penis gets chopped off, and he kind of wakes up.
Yeah, that's his nightmare.
Yeah, that's his nightmare. So then he ends up in the shrink office, played by Tom Savini. So I don't know. It was disappointing, but it wasn't the worst thing. Next up is The Accident, and
this one felt really it felt like out of place.
This one really didn't even belong in this anthology at all. It's basically about this girl.
I still think it was cool, like really like cool though. Like I like the idea of it. Like, yeah. This girl just sees this horrific event happen.
Yeah.
This
and that's
little girl.
That's basically all it is. It's like this little girl sees this horrific accident.
That is
happens.
All it is.
Stuff.
It's not.
Yeah.
That's like actually what it is.
Yeah. And it's, you know, her mom is, and then it kind of keeps flashing, you know, to the present. Right. And she's in bed. Her mom's telling her, you know, explaining death to her and stuff like that. And she's asking her mom these questions. But yeah, this little girl sees this guy in this motorbike get killed.
I mean, this is something that you would like to see, like just a random short film uploaded on YouTube. Like,
yeah.
It didn't belong in this film.
No, exactly.
But it was cool.
It was okay. I found it to be kind of whatever. It just didn't
really
fit the whole premise of this. But the next one is called Vision Stains, which I found to be
it's my
the
favorite
best.
One in this
yeah,
story.
This is by far the best short in The Theater Bazaar. I thought the fucking
I love it. I remember telling you about
was
this one.
So cool, man. So cool. It's about this girl that figures out a way to get people's memories through their eyes. So basically what it is.
Hold up a second. Wasn't this done in Chilling Senses?
Well, I haven't even got into it yet.
Let's sounds like the same thing.
No, it's no. Like a drug, dude.
No, this is
it's no. Basically like
this I said drug. 2 seconds. I got 2 seconds into it and you cut me off. Okay. So basically it's about this girl that figures out how to extract people's memories out of their eyes
with a syringe.
And basically how what happens is, you know, how the tale goes is that people, when they're on the verge of dying, their whole life flashes before their eyes, right? So she basically kind of attacks people and their whole life flashes in front of their eyes. She injects them with this needle and pulls their fucking memories out of her eye and then injects them into herself. And then she has like their visions and stuff.
But she gets addicted to them.
But she gets addicted like a fucking junkie.
Yeah. And so it's a very neat look at a junkie, but yeah, with a different concept.
There you go, just drug addict heroin. Once again.
But this one's really cool, man. It has some.
I'm not saying that, but that sounds best... just. That sounds just like the short from Chilling Senses.
Well,
it has some of the best. Some of the best eye horror ever made.
Yeah, like, dude, and I'm like, honestly, anything that's going into an eye in a horror film, I always cringe. And this was just watching a needle go in.
Did you happen to watch the special effects? How they did it?
No, I didn't watch any of the features.
Oh, it's really cool. It's basically a big, like, full sized, like, you know, like not full, but like beach ball sized eye that they're using, and it's a close up of it.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's but yeah. It might be a little smaller, but
I thought Vision Stains was by far the stick out one on this.
Oh yeah, it was. I love the concept. It's such a cool concept.
Yeah, very cool. And then the last one was called Sweets, and it's about this couple that is just like, drowning themselves eating fucking sweets and shit, and then it doesn't.
I'm thinking. I can't. I might be thinking of a different movie, but
I honestly didn't really care for this at all.
It was just fucking. I didn't like it.
I don't even really know how to explain it. It's just really about these couple that
was
are.
Is there
just
a twist ending to that one?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. But yeah, I don't know, man. Even how to explain it. It's just this couple eating fucking sweets, and then some shit happens to them. Like, I can't really give it away if you want to watch this, but.
Well, there's actually a word for it. It's a sexual.
Yeah,
it's fetish.
It is.
Yeah, it's a fetish.
It's definitely a sexual fetish. That's exactly what it kind of is. And
like
stuff.
Gorging yourself fetish thing. Well, it's fucking disgusting.
It is disgusting. When they're eating these fucking nasty plates of sweets.
And they were really good. They were like dropping shit on them. They really did. I remember in the special features, they were like spitting in it and putting it back in their mouth and shit. Like the actors did it for real. Yeah, like how you see.
It was gross. Nasty, I didn't care for it.
No. Yeah.
But, you know, overall, the Theater Bazaar was okay. I think I'd probably give it maybe like a 6 out of 10. I thought the accent. I think the accent was decent what it is, but it doesn't fit in this anthology, in my opinion. I think it's just it's too. I think all the other ones kind of relate.
But the thing is, it's the shortest one, isn't it? Like 7 minutes or something.
It is really
so
short.
It's not really. It's like a kind of a bonus time killer thing. I don't know. I like
but,
it.
But at the same time, I think these shorts are supposed to be so different because it's just this girl's being shown all these type of bizarre shorts, so they don't have to relate to each other. So I guess it does kind of make sense. But yeah, I'd probably give it like a 6.5. I think that's a good rating.
Just to show you guys how many films that I didn't see last year, relating back to last week's episode. Theater Bazaar was like number 5 on my top 5 of 2012.
Wow, crazy. Yeah, it was okay. I really the eye one was the best though. It was cool.
Oh, it was so good.
Yep. Okay, JP.
Okay, next up I watched a film called Decoys 2: The Second Seduction. this one is it's pretty much what you'd expect. The first Decoys was kind of like a Species type ripoff. This is an actual sequel to it. It does follow the events of the first film. The funny thing about this one to me is there's a character in there that kept reminding me of Jeremy the way he looked.
Thanks.
The whole time he looked like Jeremy to me. Woods, I know you recently picked up the Species the Decoys film, so look for that when you finally watch Decoys 2.
Okay.
You know, I actually like this one better than the first one. I thought it was, you know, it still had that, like, weird, like, teen sex comedy horror film type thing. It was fucking weird. I don't know. They're weird movies, but aliens trying to mate with humans to, and they like freeze their body and fucking tentacles and fucking college kids trying to get laid and fucking CGI.
Nice.
There's not really much to say about it. It's, to me, it was like a 5.5, maybe a 6 out of 10. Yeah. It had some boobs.
Boobs!
Boobs!
I get 5 minutes behind the bushes.
What? Okay,
it's a South Park
that's
reference.
My,
it's a South Park
reference. Oh, yeah, yeah, the fifth graders.
Yeah.
Or the sixth graders, whatever they were. Yeah, that's Decoys 2. It was better than the first one, in my opinion.
Cool.
All right, so should I give another film another shithole, or should I? All right, I'll save that one for last. I'll save Bloody Homecoming for the last rant. But I guess I could talk about an anthology film I watched this week that I've mentioned a little bit ago, and that is Chilling Senses, put out by Scream Factory. I know Moods talked about this one a little bit while ago, but I guess we could talk about it.
Try not to spoil this one too much, because I'm actually really interested in checking this one out.
I'll just tell you the you know, those five stories and what they're about. So first story is Smell, pretty much about this saleswoman who comes to this guy's house and drops off this perfume, and this perfume has powers that gives whenever he puts it on, people are, you know, irresistible to him. They can't, you know, leave him alone. But of course it has negative side effects and has some pretty interesting effects in this one. Pretty gross. Really liked this one. I thought it was a pretty interesting take on Smell. Really good. I liked that one a lot. And then the next one was Sight, which I think is kind of a thing about Theater Bazaar. Pretty much it's about this eye doctor who has this eye machine that extracts memories out of his patient's eyes and puts it into this liquid, and he puts the liquid into his eyes, and then he sees the visions of his patients through his eyes. So that's why it kind of reminded me of that segment from Theater Bazaar that we were just talking about. It's a pretty interesting segment, I would say. You know, he puts.
I think that eye thing has been done a few times. Like, isn't there a segment in Body Bags, where the baseball player gets somebody's eye and shit? And so that, I mean, that's been done, you know, time and time again.
Yeah. I thought it was a pretty interesting segment, and then we'll get to the third, which is my favorite segment, and that's Sight. It's a really basic segment about this kid who is blind and his two parents, who get into a car accident, and his parents can't do anything to find help. So this blind kid goes and tries to find help. It's really interesting to see how this blind kid could actually, you know, fuck around with people who actually see and get out of this tight situation with this dude who was seen from the second film. It's pretty interesting how all these movies combine with each other some way or another. Everyone has – every short relates to each other in some way or another. So this blind kid's trying to find help, and, you know, it's pretty simple. It was actually a really good short. It was actually my favorite in the set. I don't know Mood's opinion on that one, but
it was good. Yeah, it was.
Really, really.
I thought the kid did a really good job in that, actually.
Yeah, it was really good. And then we get to the worst one of the bunch, and that is Taste. This computer hacker goes to, like, this futuristic society, I guess you could suppose, and this woman who runs this whole thing wants him to do this job for him, and he denies the job, and some weird shit happens, and it's over. It's pretty stupid. I didn't like it very much. I thought they could have done a better thing with Taste than that, but it was okay. It's definitely my least favorite of the bunch, for sure.
I thought it was actually pretty – I mean, it's just – you don't really know where it's going.
Yeah.
In my opinion, and then it just kind of happens.
It has some cool effects.
I think it's just the way it was executed was just a little kind of, oh, okay, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, yeah, I know what you're saying, though.
All right, and then we get to the last one, which is the hearing one, the listening segment, which is pretty much about – these two, I guess you could say, media type majors receive this videotape, and it has this black and white video of the scientists trying to find a person who could play this composition that makes people who are insane, you know, get fucked up a little bit. I guess you could say that. They get pretty fucked up. So it's just pretty much about these two guys trying to find out what this composition is and what does it do. And they keep on getting all these tapes in the mail that furthers the story a little bit. So they finally find someone who can play this composition. And since it all gets played out and they could hear it, they start to, you know, lose their mind as well as the people who are on this tape. So it's a pretty interesting short. It's not my favorite, but it's an interesting idea.
I actually really liked the last segment. I thought it was so cool, man. I thought it was like intriguing how yesterday. They did it. Yeah, I thought it was very intriguing how they with the composition and what I thought that was really cool, man.
Yeah,
really nice way to end it though.
But yeah, I was really surprised with this one. I actually really liked it a lot. For a chiller flick, it was done really well. And
like I said, though, like when I picked, you know, being Scream Factory, obviously I was going to pick it up. But yeah, I had actually heard a couple people talk about it, and they said they didn't really like it that much. And I was like, okay, well, you know, made for TV, it's kind of what, you know, I was expecting it to be mediocre, kind of average, whatever. But I was really surprised with it. Yeah. I thought it was really well done, and I liked how all the segments kind of intertwined and kind of made sense, and everything just kind of worked out. It was good.
Did we talk about this on the podcast before?
Yeah, the first week.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
Yeah, but yeah, I gave it a 7.5 out of 10. I really liked it. I thought it was interesting anthology for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
All right, Moods.
All right, well, speaking of Scream Factory, my next title is released by Scream Factory. I think it was one of the newest ones released. From 1989. It is called The Horror Show, also known in the UK as House 3. Makes no fucking sense ever why it would be retitled as House 3.
I think it has to be now that there's a House 4, though. I think, you know, after they made a House 4, I don't think you can not call it House 3 anymore.
The thing is, this movie has nothing to do with that franchise. I have no idea what the fuck is up with that. But anyways, this one is starring Lance Hendrickson. He plays a detective, and basically what it is, it's the storyline is very reminiscent of Shocker, and ironically enough, they came out in the same year. I don't know which one came out first or which one whatever, but it's very
the
much
the real
like
question Shocker. Is you don't know which one ripped off which one.
Exactly. And it's very interesting that, you know, they're so similar. But anyways, Lance Hendrickson is this detective, and he takes down this mad killer by the name of Max Jenke. Apparently, he's killed like 116 people. He's like the most murderous person in America's history. Anyways, so he catches him, of course, and he gets the electric chair. But this, you know, Max Jenke guy is, you know, he's kind of different and kind of badass and shit. So it doesn't really kill him at first, but then eventually does. They give him, they keep zapping him, and they fry him. So, of course, the badass that Max Jenke is, he comes back in the supernatural state in like basically a ball of energy. He can travel through, you know, uses like energy and high voltage areas and stuff to, you know, transport himself. And so Max Jenke's on a mission to take down Lance Hendrickson's character, of course, because he, you know, brought him to justice and stuff. So it's very, very reminiscent of Shocker. Almost the same idea. He's, you know, the electrical charges and electricity and shit. The cool thing about this one, though, is that Lance Hendrickson keeps having these crazy visions and seeing the killer everywhere. Like, he'll be just sitting at the table and stuff, and he'll look over, and all of a sudden he'll see him, like, there. And then all of a sudden he's kind of like, the effects are actually pretty well done in this, too. But the problem with the movie is that it's kind of slow, and it's, I don't know, man. It's actually really slow. There's not a lot of action besides, like, the beginning part of the movie. And it's just too slow for my liking. I think Shocker's a way funner film. I think Lance Hendrickson does a good job. But, of course, you know, during the film, they fucking have, you know, the killer ends up killing Lance Hendrickson's daughter's boyfriend inside the house. And Lance Hendrickson's character, the cop, becomes the prime suspect, of course, because no one's going to believe him that the supernatural ball of energy was killing off people in his house, right? So, of course, he becomes the prime suspect, and the police and the internal affairs are investigating him because he's a police officer and stuff. And that whole angle is very, very played out, I thought. And just kind of overused and boring.
That angle is so played out.
But the thing is, it was just executed so cliched. And of course, you know what's going to happen. I mean, it's not even a spoiler. You already know what the end of the movie is. I'm not going to say it just in case you're like dumb and can't figure it out or something.
Oh, well, you didn't insult me. I didn't know how it was going to play out.
Yeah, you didn't know there was 4 years in high school. Come on.
Like I said, this movie
I'm just
very
fucking with you, JP.
This movie's very cliched, and it's not that great. I got to say, this is probably one of my least favorite Scream Factory releases to date. I was not a big fan.
Damn.
Yeah, this is. Yeah.
I was kind of looking forward to that one.
Yeah,
is it me? When was that one? Was that just released recently?
Yeah, this one came out in December.
Why does it feel like that one was announced like a billion years ago?
Because I think it was actually finally ended up coming out. But yeah, I don't know, man. It just didn't really do it for me. It was really slow, and I wish the action, the killings were a lot better and stuff. And I don't know, it just didn't do anything for me. But kind of sucks. It kind of sucks. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I would still give it a pass, maybe like a solid just 5 out of 10. But the thing is, like I said, it's just too cliched. It's just not a great film. It doesn't have the heart and the funness, Shocker has. Shocker's just a fun film. I know a lot of people don't like that one, but this one.
Yeah, Shocker's not like, obviously it's not like a super well constructed film.
No,
but
it's
still fun. It definitely is. And the lightheartedness of it, like the heart, like it does have a lot of heart to it more than, some films. It's cool. I like Shocker.
Yeah.
I guess it's my turn. I watched the 1989 version starring Robert Englund of The Phantom of the Opera. So I've never seen any version. I know there's countless versions of this film. So this was kind of my first experience with it. I'm not really, I've always kind of avoided this, like, the versions, because the whole opera thing is like very like out of my zone. Like it just seems annoying to me. I don't know. It was kind of, I liked it. It was, I found it kind of depressing though. Like, I don't know if it was just the era that it was set in, the Victorian era. It was kind of like a slasher. I know that that's probably not how the real story, the other versions are, but this version was kind of like a slasher almost. Had some cool gore. I liked the gore. Robert Englund was really, really cool. He kind of has like a sad face to him with the makeup and shit. It's kind of supposed to be, we're supposed to, feel bad for the character, I guess, because he's disfigured. He made a deal with the devil, classic deal with the devil thing. He wants his music to be, remembered forever and in trade. Nobody wants to remember, his face. Nobody wants to remember him. He won't be remembered for his face, basically. Yeah, he's really good. There's this girl who wants to be in some big opera, and she auditions and so on. Like I said, it just kind of had a depressing vibe to it. I don't know if it was, I think it's supposed to be like that. I don't know, but I was like, after the end of it, I was like, oh man, I kind of feel shitty right now, because I was like sick that day, and I was like it was kind of like a double downer. Have you seen this?
I've actually never seen that version.
I've never seen it either.
I was wondering why nobody's saying anything. wow, that's so weird. Have you seen any version of Phantom of the Opera?
I've seen the original Universal Edition version.
Yeah, I've seen a couple different versions also. Seen the original one. Yeah.
This one has a weird setup. Like, the bookends of the film, like it's like almost like a time travel type thing, dream type thing. Like, it was all a dream type thing, like, but not in a different way. It's just kind of, I don't know. It was like, I don't see why it was set up like that. I don't know. Cause the idea was to get this character into the Victorian era. Cause it starts out in New York present day, 1989 present day. And it gets her back to that era, but it's like, why didn't they just start there? It doesn't really make sense. I still recommend it though. It was pretty you know, well done for, you know, the type of film it is. I'm sure there's better versions out there, but for the first version that I've seen, I actually really liked it, and I'll probably seek out other versions, but it is kind of, I'll probably watch them when I'm not feeling shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely don't recommend the Dario Argento Phantom of the Opera. It's probably, well, until he made Dracula 3D. It was his worst movie to date, but I think Dracula 3D might even be worse from what I've been hearing. But
we were talking about yesterday, the best thing about that movie is the cover.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But the Victorian era does look cool. Like, I like the era, just not that day. I give the film a 7.5.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty solid. All right.
It's a good watch. I recommend it. If you're a Robert Englund fan, you got to check it out. It's like right at the height of his Freddy-ness, and it's something different. It's definitely a different role. It's not like Freddy. It's more serious.
Cool.
Cool. All right. So we're going to do two more each, and then our pick of the week.
I got one more, and then pick of the week.
All right. So I guess I can save the worst for last. So I'm going to be talking about a movie that I just finally watched, and it's the third film in the series, and it is Wreck 3, which I finally got to watch.
All right, try not to spoil anything from the first two Wrecks, because those are something that I really, really, really want to see.
And you haven't seen the Wrecks?
No, I haven't.
Well, they kind of have nothing to do with each other besides
the All right, Wreck, then. So. No spoiling is going to
no,
happen.
No, that isn't a spoiler! Between the first two and the third.
What are you talking about? I said, okay then, no spoiling's going to happen.
Well, I thought you thought that was a spoiler.
Jesus!
No. Okay, so the first two films and the third film has nothing to do besides the outbreak, which is not, you know, which is a common thing about the series of the film. So, the film is basically about this couple that's getting married, and one of the uncles got infected by this virus, which was important in the first two films, and all hell breaks loose, and everyone turns into zombies, and it's basically about this bride and groom and some of the you know, guests at this wedding trying to survive. It was interesting, you know. It's pretty generic.
Is this found footage?
Indeed. Yeah, sort of. It's kind of like Chernobyl Diaries found footage type.
I haven't seen that either.
Yeah. Have you seen Wreck 3 Moods?
I have not watched it yet. I even own it too.
Yeah, it's kind of like Chernobyl Diaries found footage type stuff. But the first two are found footage, but I really like the first two. If you guys haven't seen the first two Wrecks, you should check them out. They're really good.
They're really, really high on my list. Like, I almost bought them a few times recently.
Yeah, they pulled the Halloween 1 and 2 type of thing. With
I love
it taking place, already. Yeah, really, I really like the first. It's probably the best found footage films, next to Grave Encounters. But
what about Blair Witch?
Yeah, you know my opinion on Blair Witch. It was in my top ten overrated films of all time list.
It was in my top 10 overrated films of all time, but it's still one of my favorite movies of all time too. Blair Witch 2, on the other hand, is in my top 10.
Moods. We were just talking about that yesterday. It's kind of funny.
Dude, I love Blair Witch 2. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, Blair Witch 2 is actually pretty fun. It's I don't know. It's just so different.
Yeah,
it is.
It's nothing like the first one.
It's fun.
Yeah, but Wreck 3, it's definitely the worst out of the three so far. They're coming out with a fourth one, which follows the first and second storyline. But it's interesting. I gave it a 6.5 out of 10. It's definitely not the worst thing, but...
Mm-hmm.
They live up to the hype as the first two films did. So.
Yeah, the first two films have a lot of struggle. Like, I don't think I've ever heard somebody like, oh, those Wreck movies? Nah, skip them. Not really any good. I've never heard anybody say that.
Have you seen the first two Moods?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you haven't said anything, so I didn't know.
Yeah, I liked them. I mean, yeah, they're really good films. I'd, you know, definitely take them over the fucking remakes. Yeah,
isn't it weird when you're the only person that's seen something? Because then you're like, you tell about it, and then you're just waiting for some kind of response, but nothing happens. I felt that way in Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Wreck 3, pretty interesting, pretty good. I liked it a lot. So not really liked it a lot, but it was all right.
Yeah, I gotta check it out one of these days, man.
I'll
like
probably grab all three of them
sitting
soon.
There. Yeah. You can find those movies for dirt cheap.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah. Moods, what's your fourth pick of the week?
All right, next up is a film called Jack
pick
the Reaper.
Pick of the week?
Huh. Not pick of the week, fourth film we watched. Sorry, stupid yeah. Jeremy's talking weird.
Yeah,
hey,
so
dude,
this one...
I didn't know that there was 4 years in a high school year, so.
Yeah.
Want to cut off meds again?
Hey, man, I can stop. It's fine. All right, so the next movie.
No, I'm kidding.
The next movie that I watched is called Jack the Reaper. This came out in 2000. It says 2011 on here. I don't know, 2013. I don't know. It says 11 and 13. Maybe it's just released on
media. It came out. That's all that matters.
It did. It came out. This movie has Tony Todd in the film for
4 seconds.
He's briefly in the film.
Does it say starring Tony Todd on it? It has to.
Actually, on the cover, it does not say anything about Tony Todd.
Well, you know, Pork Chop 2 says Sean C. Phillips is the main star, and he was in it for about 4 seconds, so...
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Sean C. who?
Sean C. Phillips, Cool Duder.
Who the fuck's that?
You don't know who
Anyways.
Cool Duder is? Sorry, Moods.
Oh my god, you guys. So bad. Anyways, Jack the Reaper. Yeah, it doesn't say anything about Tony Todd being in this film, but he's definitely in the trailer, that's for sure. Anyways, it's about these this group of students that have basically Saturday school. There are a bunch of kids that didn't do this writing assignment, so they get Saturday school. But their Saturday school is consisting of a field trip to basically learn about like the Industrial Revolution. So, of course, they go on this trip.
JP, stop being an asshole.
What are you saying?
Why are you saying all right? You keep cutting off me.
That's awesome. That sounds like an awesome field trip, doesn't it?
So anyways, they go on this trip, and yeah, they go at this fucking... Dude, you fucked up my concentration so bad. Anyways, so they end up going to this place and learning about this Industrial Revolution. Tony Todd is, you know, but... Or on their way to this thing, they end up stopping at this. They end up stopping at this place. Anyways, Tony Todd's character, he starts telling these kids about this dude that was in the area of this, you know, this guy named Jack the Reaper, the legend of Jack the Reaper and stuff like that. He was like this railroad worker that, you know, if you looked him in the eyes and stuff like that, he would end up, you know, killing you. That's kind of what the legend was. So, anyways. Tony Todd's character, as creepy as usual, fucking tells these kids all this shit, and they hop back on the bus, and of course their bus fucking crashes in this desolate area, so they never actually reach their destination.
I would have thought they would have got a flat tire.
So anyways, they basically, when the bus crashes, it reminds me of Jeepers Creepers 2, the scene where, well, of course in the bus, and then they got to figure out what the fuck, what they got to do, but they did not get a flash tire. This bus actually flipped over. So anyways, they're in this desolate area. There's no one around. And of course they look over and what do they see? They see a deserted carnival. So they're going to go to this deserted carnival to seek help, right? Because, you know, no one's coming along. And of course, this is where Jack the Reaper is basically where he is, you know? So they go to this carnival and of course all the kids start getting killed off one by one, because if you see him, you will die. If you look at him, you will die. So,
isn't there like some like new like pop culture thing that's like that? Like if you look at it, you'll die or something. It's like some kind of like boogeyman story or something. I don't know.
The story, you know, of looking, or if the killer sees you, or if you see the killer and you die. I mean, this has been done before. But the problem with this movie is that, you know, the setup is so fucking predictable. The characters are mostly unlikable. It's acted pretty bad. I thought the direction was shitty in it too. But Tony Todd was good. Like, you know, telling the story is just creepy as shit. Best thing about the movie, the effects are all right. They are practical, which is
kind of
cool.
It's kind of funny that you say Tony Todd's creepy, because he was like the nicest dude ever when I met him. He was so nice.
Really? I heard he was a dick and tries to steal your girlfriend.
Really? Well, he's nice to me.
No, it's a Holliston reference.
Oh, well, I haven't seen Holliston, so I wouldn't fucking know.
It's the way he's telling the story about Jack the Reaper in this. You know, he's just in that real low-toned
Man
voice.
Dude,
and stuff.
Tony Todd's voice is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's good. But he's definitely the best part about this film. But it's just all cliched. It's got like a kind of like a twist ending to it and stuff. The carnival setting's cool. You don't see a lot of films set in a carnival. I wish there was actually more. But
there are quite a few.
There is quite a few, but I mean,
yeah, there are.
I mean, I guess
you wish you could see a few more good ones set in carnivals, yeah. is what you're saying. What it is.
But this one is set in a fucking rundown dead carnival. So there's no people around. It's just them. So it doesn't really have that full
so
vibe.
So why the fuck would they go there for help if there's nobody fucking there?
Well, because they don't know that at first, right? They just notice that there's a carnival, and you think that
you would think that there would be somebody there.
Like, because generally carnivals are they're usually moving shows, right? So there should be people there. So that was the whole thing. So they go there, and of course, it doesn't work out very well for the characters, and it's kind of mean spirited at times. There's this one girl that's she's actually deaf. Oh man, her death is so funny. I'm not going to lie, man. I laugh so hard, but, overall the movie is just too cliched. It was very uninteresting. I hated most of the characters in it too, which is so annoying. It's a below average film, man. Why are you guys watching all kinds of shitty movies this week? 4.5 out of 10.
Oh, just wait till my next movie, JP. We're going to have a good one on that.
You guys are downers, man.
Ugh.
It's not my fault we watch shitty
movies.
Why do you keep
interrupting me every fucking 2 seconds?
You
answer that one. No, JP.
Ha, yeah.
Anyways, Jack the Reaper, not good. So I don't recommend it. I'm so sick of watching these overly cliched films with, cameos from really good actors, and I hate that shit. It drives me nuts. But
hey, JP,
it's quite possible that I might be on a delay. Because to me, it doesn't seem like I'm actually interrupting. It just seems like I'm interjecting when nobody's talking.
No, you're caught in off moods a lot.
You're not on a delay, man.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yes. You can hear you.
Okay.
All right. What's your last movie, JP?
The Plague. It's from some 2006. It's a Clive Barker Productions.
Dark Sky Films.
No.
Oh, maybe that's Plague Town I'm thinking of.
Yeah, this Clive Barker produced this or something. I would say it's like Village of the Damned meets Children of the Corn meets a zombie film.
Didn't he write this movie? Isn't it based on a short story?
I don't think he did, because it doesn't seem like anything from him, based on what's happening. It might, if it is, it's loosely wrote by him. No, it's not wrote by him. This one, it had a cool concept. One day, every kid under the age of, 8 or something like that, it's 8 or 7 or 9, just goes into a coma. Every kid above that age is normal. And then it flashes forward 10 years and society pretty much is going extinct. Nobody could have kids. Anybody who has a kid, it instantly goes into a coma. So we're kind of feeling like the world's going to end, because how can we live on if everybody goes into comas when they're born? Interesting idea, and the last of the kids who were, right above that age, that didn't go into comas, they're now, I believe, 19 or, yeah, I think they're all 19 now or something. And so all the kids basically snap out of the coma. They all have this, some kind of bond with them. And it's basically kind of like a zombie film, but they're not zombies. They're, mad kids who are not really kids. There's different ages because, it's 10 years later. Some of them that were, 5 when it happened would be 15. Some that were, 3 when it happened would be 13. And they're basically, terrorizing a group of people. It's kind of like a post-apocalyptic type thing. It's just not very well done. It's kind of like cliched zombie type of stuff, but not zombie films. It has the scene where the mother sees her daughter and, it's not really your daughter anymore. That's not her. And, of course the mother's doesn't believe that and lets her loose and gets killed. It's simply the same shit we've seen thousands of times. There are one or two creepy moments when the kids first start being, coming back around and stuff, but I don't know. It was kind of cliched pretty much.
Man, did we ever watch a lot of shit?
5.5 out of 10. Thanks for cutting me off, Dick.
Yeah, this is fucking. Yeah, that's, it does sound very cliched, very typical fucking. When did you say that came out?
2006.
2006. It's funny. I think I've seen it around, but I didn't know any. I didn't know Clive Barker had anything to do with that.
I think he just produced it.
Yeah, figures.
His name's on it. That's it. All right. Mood's final film. It's my time to rip a film a new asshole. That, of course, is Bloody Homecoming, which I talked about a little bit last week. But I figured I wanted to talk about it a little bit more into detail and why this movie sucks. Major, major, major asshole. But pretty much the film is about these group of teenagers who go to prom. And, of course, the older kids are assholes and wouldn't let them into the dance. So they decide to have their own party. And this, so they go to this, you know, this side classroom. Of course, these one of the couples go in the closet to fuck around, and the guy tries and, I guess you could say, rape her, and she doesn't have nothing of it, and one of her friends comes and saves her, and they lock him in the closet, and a fire starts inside of this closet, and of course, the guy dies, and your typical slasher stupid shit starts to happen. Now, these characters are super, super, super fucking stupid and unlikable. Like, you couldn't even imagine how bad acting these people, characters are. Now, I know it's supposed to be like that, but it's just, these characters are so fucking stupid, and it's just generic. Like, I'll talk about one kill, you know, these two kids fucking in the back of a pickup truck at a football game. The killer comes, slashes one of the person's throat. The chick jumps off the sides of the pickup truck and, of course, hurts her foot. As she tries to run away, he stabs her in the eye and kills her. It's like, how many times have we fucking seen that same exact kill?
Did the stab actually look good in the eye?
No, it looked fucking stupid, generic crap. Now, there is one interesting kill in the film that I had to give credit to that includes bleachers and getting crushed by bleachers, which is pretty interesting, and it's definitely one of the most interesting things about this fucking movie. But yeah, it's just a really bad, generic, bad acted, annoying fucking characters piece of garbage that I absolutely fucking hated. I know this mood said this is on a lot of people's top 10 lists, but I have no fucking idea how or why. Maybe I'll have to watch some of these videos to see their fucking explanations on this piece of garbage trash. And the kind of, you know, the ending, you know, those huge, you know, surprise, so fucking predictable and stupid. And it makes no fucking sense at all. I just fucking hated it. It's worse than Cube 2. I gave it a 1.5 out of 10.
Holy shit, man. I seriously can't believe that this was on a lot of people's top 10 lists or even honorable mentions. Or I mean, it made some type of good list of 2013 releases. I mean, but this is why I'm so intrigued to watch this movie, because some of the people that I saw do their videos, and, you know, I won't mention their names, but, you know, their lists were pretty good. Yeah. You know, and you're blasting the shit out of this film. So I have to see this movie now.
It
makes me want to watch it so much, because I'm just so intrigued that, you know, someone can hate it so much and other people can love it so much. So it's right up my alley.
Fucking hated it. I thought it was garbage. So yeah.
I have this feeling that, like, I'm gonna watch it and it's not even gonna be that bad. I just have this feeling.
I don't know. It seems like something I would like. That's why I've been so intrigued too. I think that, I don't know, man. Slasher films, though, I kind of biased towards them sometimes. I kind of give them a pass sometimes, but I don't know. I got to see this, though. It just seems up mine and JP's alley for sure.
Yeah, it's garbage.
Can't wait. All right. So you gave that a 1.5 out of 10?
1.5. Absolute shit.
I think that's the lowest rating that we've ever given on this podcast.
Yes, it was.
That's a fucking low rating, dude.
It's horrible. Like,
1.5 is so crazy.
Terrible.
A movie has to be, like, nearly unwatchable for me to rate it that low, I think.
Well, I almost turned it off after the first like half hour, but I don't turn off anything because I obviously didn't turn off Cube 2, so I obviously wasn't going to turn off this. So.
Well, you rated Cube 2 higher.
Yes, because at least, I don't know, it was just garbage. I hated
well,
it.
Well, I know that that doesn't really correlate with the rating things, but...
I mean, I was so close this week to turning off Cherry Tree Lane, but I can't bring myself to turn off a movie. If I'm going to get more than half an hour into a film, I'm watching the rest of it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of weird like that. I'm very kind
of... Yeah, I'm really weird like that, too.
Yeah, so... But yeah, Cherry Tree Lane is probably, I think, the lowest rated film I've done on this podcast so far. So this has been a really interesting week.
All shit stains.
Fuck, I can't. So anyways, yeah, my fifth and final movie of this week is another anthology film released by Full Moon. And it's called The Haunted Dollhouse. Now, I had no idea going into this what this anthology film was all about. I just saw that it was all directed by Charles Band, which I was like, well, it can't be too bad. And then I popped it in. And I got about 2 or 3 minutes into the first segment, and I went, I have fucking seen this before. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I paused the movie for a minute, and I looked it up, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Basically, what this is, The Haunted Dollhouse, it's three shorts that are just cut down to make an anthology film. So the first short...
Three shorts that are cut down to make an anthology film.
I mean, three full-length films
it's like
that are cut down.
Is it like Puppet Master?
Yeah, you guys didn't know that's what that was?
No, I had no idea. No.
Gotta research a little bit.
Well, whatever. This was like fucking dirt cheap anyways. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, the first segment in the movie is called The Protectors, but it's just basically an edited version of Skullheads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, shit, man, because I actually really enjoy Skullheads. I thought it was pretty cheesy. But the way it's cut down in the short, you're just like, and I've seen the movie, I was like, wow, what the fuck, right? And then the second one is called Worry Dolls, and that's from Dangerous Worry Dolls.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, and then the third one is Dangerous Toys, and that's from Dollman vs. Demonic Toys. I've never actually seen Dangerous Worry Dolls before, so the second one was kind of intriguing to me. But the first and the third skits, I've seen the full films, and I was very, very disappointed with this. Overall, I mean, I guess it would work fine if you've never seen any of the films, but, you know, Charles Band put out this film? Why would you edit down full-length films and just create
an anthology?
Is
that a serious question?
Like, it's a rhetorical question, JP.
I thought so.
I'm just like, why would you ever fucking do this? It makes no sense. I mean, obviously, it's just a money thing. You put out another release, you might generate some fucking... I mean, it's basically all profit for you because you can put anything into it except for the little kind of transitions in between the shorts, right? I don't know. You've seen this before, JP?
No, I knew about it though. That's why I had no interest in it. I did see Dangerous Worry Dolls. That's the only other three I've seen. That's actually one of the better Full Moons that I've seen of recent, you know, Full Moons. I actually like Dangerous Worry Dolls quite a bit.
Well, that's interesting because I need to definitely seek out that one because I own Skullheads and Dollman vs. Demonic Toys, but Dangerous Worry Dolls, I got to check it out because I did. I really enjoyed the short or the edited version of the film or whatever you want to call it, right?
That's such a silly fucking concept, dude. I can't believe that happened.
I know. It's just so weird. And watching Dollman vs. Demonic Toys edited down to like a 30-minute short is weird. They cut out – like it's so jumpy. You know, it looks like it was edited by one of us. You know, it's just like, holy shit, this movie's only 30 minutes now. It's so silly, but I don't know. Dollman vs. Demonic Toys is such a fun film, but it's too bad. But anybody that, you know, has seen these films, you know exactly what this is, so I don't really want to get into this. I was really disappointed with this release, so I don't recommend it. Just go out and get the full-length films. Fuck. Yeah.
All right. So, gonna move into our pick of the weeks. Petra Moods can guess what my pick of the week is going to be. So my pick of the week is the Dark Sky release film of Man Borg, which is an Astron 6 movie that we talked a little bit about last week. This movie is fucking bad shit fucking crazy. It's so not takes itself seriously. It's just
Wasn't you supposed to watch something else or something?
Adam Chaplin. I'll get to
that's right.
Later. But yeah, this movie is fucking batshit crazy. It's pretty much all green screen from start to finish, but it's green screen in a funny way that it doesn't, you know, take itself seriously, that they know that they're using a whole bunch of green screen. It's pretty much about this guy who is in a battle with his brother in the beginning against these demonic creatures from hell, and his brother dies in an overdramatic scene, which is just fucking hilarious. It's so funny. Yeah. His blood squirting out of his mouth. This is fucking hilarious. So we find out that the person who killed his brother was called, what's his name? It's like a Dracula, demonic Dracula ripoff. And so he also gets killed, but a doctor saves him and turns him into the Manborg. And it's just really funny, this guy who is a half machine, half human, and he could barely walk, you know, his body has to turn before his head. This is really fucking funny. So he wakes up and he escapes from this doctor's, you know, laboratory, and he meets this Asian guy, and this Asian guy is completely dubbed in the shittiest way possible in this American voice, just like the bad dubbed Asian films. It's just fucking hilarious because they know that they're dubbing this guy on purpose to, you know, make a joke about. If you guys seen Wayne's World 2 during the fighting scene, it's that kind of dubbed badness. It's just hilarious. So they both get captured by this, you know, the guy, the Dracula guy again, and they meet these other two characters. This brother and their sister duo, which, you know, these two characters are fucking hilarious too. They're just over the top, don't take themselves seriously whatsoever.
Which I want to intervene. The brother and sister are actual real brother and sister in real life, I think, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
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 So they get so they get put into this, like, this arena type, you know, ancient Greece type situation, battling all these demonic things, and, you know, Manborg's finally figuring out what he is and fucking shit up in massive laser explosions and close-up fight scenes. This is fucking hilarious. So as the film goes on, you know, he's trying to kill this giant Dracula guy in all these funny, hilarious ways. It's just over the top, batshit crazy. It's 60 minutes pretty much right on the dot, so if you guys have an hour to spare, it's definitely a film you should check out if you like really cheesy, over-the-top, doesn't-take-itself-seriously, know-what-it's-doing-type film.
Like I said, when I talked about this movie, was that I just wanted, like, another 10 minutes because it was so entertaining and fun. Usually I don't say I want more time in a film, but that one right there, it was just, oh, man, it's just so much fun.
Yeah,
I agree.
I gave it an 8.5 out of 10. It was a blast for sure.
Yeah, one thing I love about that film is the dialogue, man.
Yeah, it's like that. This guy's interrogating him. It's like, "What are you gonna do?" And he's like, "Yes," in like a fucking generic voice, one word answers.
I can't remember the one guy's name. The guy's real name, but the guy that's playing the Australian character,
yeah,
he's part of Astron 6, but he's doing that fucking accent is just so funny to me now because I know that he's Canadian, right? It just makes me laugh the whole time. But the dialogue is so fucking funny in that movie; it just makes me laugh like constantly.
Yeah,
they're so entertaining.
It's really funny. You guys should definitely, if you guys like Father's Day and other Astron 6 type shorts, you should definitely check it out. It's fun.
Yeah, Manborg and Father's Day are two completely different films.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just that's what I like about Astron 6. If you've checked out their shorts and stuff, like, Troma put out this double disc, you know, thing of all their shorts, and it runs about 5 hours, and they're so different. I know I've mentioned this before, but you have everything from, like, straight up horror to, like, sci-fi to, like, comedies to, like, they have just such a wide range of, you know, topics and, you know, shit that they do. So, very cool. Definitely check that out.
Yeah, I loved it. It's fun. All right, Moods, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is actually a film that I did on week one of my 88 series on YouTube, and that is Scarecrows from 1988. Wow, this movie is fucking phenomenal. This is like one of the best Scarecrow films I've ever seen. I've seen this movie years ago, and I so happy to finally get a copy of this and revisit it, because it's just an amazing film. It's basically about these ex-military, you know, guys that pull off this crazy multi-million dollar heist, and they steal this cargo plane, and now they're on their way to Mexico, get the fuck out of the country. And so on their way to Mexico, one of the criminals goes a little AWOL, and he jumps out the cargo plane with all the cash. And little does he know, he lands into this field with all these like crazy scarecrows and shit. And the setting is just fantastic. And of course, there's like this abandoned kind of house deal. So he kind of goes into that shit. And of course, the rest of the criminals, they fucking, you know, they follow escape. They land the plane and they go after the guy that went AWOL. Now they're looking for the cash and stuff. And of course, these scarecrows start picking them off one by one and shit. But I tell you, man, this whole movie's set in the dark. It has a great – the fucking setting is just fantastic. The scarecrows look so phenomenal. They're actually really creepy and shit. And the effects are awesome. It's out of print, isn't it? This DVD is out of print. And the effects are really cool. The one thing that someone mentioned in my comments that, you know, all the characters in this film are so unlikable. And it is true because, like, you're not really supposed to like these characters, though, because, I mean, they're all criminals. They've done these bad acts and stuff. But they are pretty unlikable and – that's,
you
I
mean,
guess, kind of
unlikable as in like, well, bad characters or just not likable characters?
They're just like the actual characters are just not likable. They're just kind of dicks and stuff, right? They're just,
yeah, okay.
They're like,
so they're not Evil Dead unlikable.
No,
remake.
No. They're just the characters themselves. They're just bad people, right? And they're just kind of playing off that, you know, like in a lot of films, you know, the bad characters, you know, they're not meant to be liked. You know, so that's kind of what it is. But the atmosphere in this movie is so amazing. And the way the scarecrows come along and the story kind of develops, you kind of learn things and, you know, but you don't learn it fully, which is kind of cool, too. It's not spoon fed you at all. This movie is it's more about the atmosphere and just what's going on and shit. It's fucking cool, man. I love the part in this film when the dude that. The AWOL guy, he finds this truck by this abandoned house, and he hops in the truck and he's trying to make his getaway in this old 50s style Chevy kind of deal. Anyways, he gets like halfway up the road or whatever, and all of a sudden the truck dies on him, and he's like, fuck, right? So he opens up the hood of the truck and there's no fucking engine in the truck. And then you're like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, this movie sounds badass.
Yeah, and it's kind of before everything kind of goes down. You're like, what the hell? And then you're wondering, well, what the hell? Like, these things have, like, supernatural powers. And very, very cool film.
It's an MGM release, right?
Yeah.
So maybe fucking Scream Factory picked that shit up.
That's what someone said in the comments.
Someone did mention that. And I never even thought of that until they
mentioned
it.
I did think of it.
Fuck, dude. Honestly, if Scream Factory picked this up, oh, I would.
Imagine the cover, dude.
Oh, dude, totally. I would be on Boner Central for like a month. It'd be insane because this is a perfect title.
We can influence Scream Factory's choice. Everybody get at them. Tweet them.
Totally. We should. I wonder if they even have, because I know that there's so many more films apparently that they have sitting around that they can release, but I hope this is one of them, man. This would be amazing.
I mean, there is some that they just legally can't get a hold of, but I mean.
For sure. For sure. Yeah.
If that one's available to get and enough people scream about it, it'll happen.
Totally. I mean, we've done this once before, JP. Remember when we were making our list with Body Bags and we said, Body Bags, you need to release that. And they sure enough did. This is another title that would be a perfect Scream Factory release because it just fits the bill so well. It's such an awesome movie for such an awesome company. You know, it's not a mediocre film. So, yeah, I highly recommend this. I give this like 9 out of 10. It's a great watch. I could watch this over again right
Sucks
now.
Sucks it's out of print. This is one that I've actually seen before. It's been since I was a kid, but I remember it was really fucking cool. I remember when they first, like, are there. Like, they first come down and there's, like, scarecrows and shit. I remember it being pretty fucking cool looking.
Yeah, I love the look of the scarecrows, and I love the close-ups when the camera pans right on the scarecrows' faces. You can almost see them breathing. Mm-hmm. And I think they did that purposely, right? Because you're like, are these things alive or is that the wind? It kind of keeps you guessing. You're like, what the fuck is going on with this? But I do like the whole angle. I don't want to give too much about why, like what the scarecrows are doing and why they're picking these people off one by one and stuff. But there is a purpose to their madness. It's not just random, which I think is very cool too. I really enjoyed it. It's such a great film.
That sounds very interesting. I wish that wasn't out of print because I'd totally buy that.
It's good, Jeremy.
What? Yeah, it's good. This movie's, yeah, it seems to be it goes for 20 and above kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I lucked out and I got this
actually,
one for about 15 shit.
There is a version of this film that's in a 4-pack And it's kind of out of print-ish too. It's with like Return of the Living Dead and something else, I think. And
Really?
yeah, I've seen it go for like $8 in the 4-pack.
Huh. Ooh, but you know my opinion on 4-packs.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of them either. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. I want this film though. If I can find the 4-pack, I'll get it.
The reason why I just got this is because I could not find the right price. I've had it on a list to get for so long, and I couldn't pass it up. It was 15 ships, so that's probably the best price.
You know what? Just like 2 years ago, that film was going for like $8 used, though. Like, it just recently went like super high.
Yeah. You
know, 20 is super high to me, like for a DVD that's used. I'm not going to pay that.
Yeah. You get a brand new on Amazon for $25.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm still not paying that for a DVD, but...
Huh. No, that's crazy.
What 4-pack are you talking about? I can't find it. Huh.
I'll send you a link. I know how to... I think Frogs is in it, too. Maybe.
Wow, that's a really weird 4-pack.
Yeah, I'm forgetting. There's something in it. I just can't remember.
All right, cool. What's your pick of the week, JP?
My pick of the week this week is going way back. Going back to 1932. Can you guess what it is?
Frankenstein, Dracula. What came out in 19? Oh, Freaks.
It is Freaks. Todd Browning's Freaks. This is the first time I've ever seen it. This is kind of a short film. It only runs like 60-some minutes, I think, 64 maybe. I've always known about it. I know Madison talked about it. She really likes it.
I love that film.
It's such an interesting horror film. I mean, it's kind of horror, I guess. It's an interesting film in general because it's kind of at a different time, that's for sure. And you know, all the actors in the film and actresses are what would be considered, you know, freaks of the time. They're all natural people with abnormalities or whatever that word is. It's kind of like their day-to-day activities in this circus. You know, you're following these characters and you kind of, you know, each one has their own, you know, minor to major part in the story. But they're all there and they're all definitely interesting to see. The one that really kind of I found like super interesting was the one with no arms and no legs, because Jesus Christ, that would suck. And like, he's able to do things. Like, he can light a cigarette. Like, yeah. It's like, with only his mouth. And he wobbles around. He can, like, move. Like, he can move. Like, that guy can move. He has no legs and no arms. And he can move. And, of course, it's, you know, it has a lot of commentary to it, you know, obviously. It has a lot to do with, you know, the way we perceive and judge people, of course. And for the time, I'm sure it's like pretty cutting edge shit, you know, like pushing the envelope a lot on that, because even there's like a opening like monologue thing that says, you know, throughout history, people who are born with deformities or anything like that are, you know, considered, you know, very bad things. Like they're some, you know, in some civilizations, babies were left to die. Just
away. That's the thing. If you were born, you know, even a couple hundred years, maybe even 100 years earlier, you know, they just
threw you away. They threw babies away, dude.
Yeah, they would literally just, you know, basically execute you at birth. That's so crazy. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's fucking, I hear a lot of people say it's slow. I didn't really get that feeling. I thought it was, you know, of course it's going to be a little slow for the era, but I mean, I thought it flowed really well. Like it kind of gave you this story about the you know, each, you know, the love story deception type thing that happened.
Are you sure about that 4-pack?
I'm sure, dude. It might be an 8-pack or something, but it exists. I'll show you it after the show.
Yeah, I never found this movie to be that short or that slow either. I mean, considering the runtime on it, I thought it was.
But have you heard that? Have you heard people say that? Like, it's boring till the last like 2 minutes or whatever. Like, I've heard people say that before.
Huh? Yeah, maybe I have, but I mean, my personal opinion, though, I found it very intriguing. I found it very intriguing to see these, you know, kind of real life you know, freaks, I guess is the political term from back in the day, right? I guess we can't call them freaks anymore, but
quote unquote freaks.
But that was the thing, right? Like, it's very intriguing to see these people that they like actually existed.
it's like an interesting look into history and just it's fucking cool. It really is like an experience. It's like a learning experience and just kind of a.
I know that Todd Browning took a lot of shit for this film because he used, you know, like obviously real people and stuff like that, right? Because I think when it came out, there was a lot of talks about, you know, just it's basically just a over the top exploitation film, and I think in those days that was kind of very frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if you're not using makeup and creating these monsters, and you're actually using real people with no arms and no legs, you're just looking at it as like a big exploitation, and it was kind of rough for the times for him. But I think that's why this movie's so fucking
that's
effective.
One thing that I honestly was wondering going into it, and to me, I didn't get one hint of exploitative like type of filmmaking there. Like, to me, it really didn't seem at all exploitive.
I think it's just the point of using those people in a film, you know.
I understand why it was, but I mean,
yeah,
they were wrong, like, is what I'm saying, like,
totally.
because
especially the what happens in the outcome of the film, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're not, you know, exploiting these characters at all.
Even it, like I said, the guy that lights the cigarette, with no arms, no legs, it's kind of almost showcasing, like, look, he can do this. Like, isn't that amazing? Like, so it never seemed to me like it was showing these things in a way that was, you know, exploitive to the person. If anything, it was, you know, doing the opposite. And it was like kind of showcasing the amazing things that some of these people can still do. And I really, really, really found the main little person, I think that's the right word, very likable. Like, he was cool, man. He was a little cool dude.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You felt for him. But yeah, this is a film that is, I recommend everybody who's a fan of like film and, you know, horror should definitely see this one. It's something that definitely has its place in cinema history and stuff. I really, really enjoyed it. I give it an 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, that's probably an appropriate rating for it.
The ending, dude, come on, that was fucking wow.
I know, the ending's fucking amazing. And especially for the times too, right?
It was scary, dude. Like the modern brain thunders and shit.
It's so beautifully shot. And one thing about this movie that I really, really love, and it just still it kind of creeps me out, is the fucking, maybe it's just because in general, but carnival music and that type of eerie soundtrack, just, I don't know, man, I find it works so, I love that shit, man. It just works so well. I think the music is awesome.
Cool. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, so what
What'd you think of the soundtrack, JP?
Good. Great. Greatness.
Okay.
All right.
What did you say?
I said, I was just asking you about the soundtrack, like the music in it. I think it just works so well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I thought you said, what did I think of the film? I was like, I said it was great the whole time.
No, just the way, like, you know, carnival music. You know, but that old school, like that soundtrack is so fitting. Like, obviously this is kind of like the normal music that's played at these carnivals.
It was also the sounds around, like just the sounds of the carnival that really fit in well. And like the happenings going on around, you know, it was just cool.
Yeah. I always think that carnival music is some of the creepiest sounding music ever. It doesn't even matter what type of setting you put that theme music in. It makes anything creepy. You know, I don't know what it is about carnival music, man. It just gives me the willies, man.
All right. Is that everything?
Yeah.
All right. So that was all the films that we watched in the last 2 weeks or so, which, you know, were pretty shit on the shit stick with all of us on the amount of shit that we watched these last few weeks. So, yeah. So now we're going to...
Those was all actually films that I watched this week alone.
Yeah, this is all that I watched this week too, actually.
Yeah.
Well, not even all. Fuck, man, I left out like six films.
Yeah, we saw that.
I watched a few before last week's show. But anyway, we're going to hop into this segment for the film of the week. And it's one of my favorite films of the last 10 years, of course. And that, of course, is Jason Eisner's Hobo with a Shotgun, put out by Magnet, which is just a fucking awesome film. Should we talk about the story, or should we just hop right into our thoughts?
I think this is a film to where you really don't have to talk about the story too much. It's an exploitation-style grindhouse film about a hobo set in a, you know,
post-apocalyptic,
semi-future type of world where crime is an all-time high. People are dicks and fucking just not regulated properly, and he gets fucking tired of it and fucking decides to just kill motherfuckers with a shotgun.
Post-apocalyptic fucking city that's overrun by douchebag fucking
two douchebag monsters. Brothers who totally yeah. Just has JP's favorite thing, a school bus full of kids getting burned to death. But to JP, yeah, during that scene was
pretty crazy.
It's the funniest shit ever, man. Yeah. I'm still laughing about that part.
My favorite part is the fucking with Santa Claus, man. Fucking always just cracked my ass up.
Santa Claus is so dirty in that film.
I know, and just the way he fucking puts the shotgun in his face and just fucking blows his brains out is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it's a complete rampage of this hobo guy.
Yeah, but
played by Rutger Hauer, who is just blasting fools with a shotgun, man.
It's so over the top fun.
It is very over the top, and I thought that the beginning, the like very intro with the credits and stuff, like I really liked how that was filmed for some reason. I don't know if it was like it seemed like everything was more like colorful.
Yeah, on the railroad lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have the Blu-ray too. It looked really good.
Yeah.
So this film to me, I don't see much wrong with it. I mean, you know what you're going into when you deal with a film like this. I do have one complaint that I felt kind of bugged me watching this one. And it's pretty much the only like complaint that I have, though. And I thought that the villains were kind of whack.
Dude, I think that's the point of it, JP.
I get it. And I also think that the dialogue was very whack. And I get that it's supposed to be like intentionally bad. But I think that it was bad, intentionally bad. I think that it could have been better crafted, right, dialogue, better crafted, badly written dialogue. You know what I mean?
You would not like Manborg then.
I do understand where you're coming from with that, because I was actually, you know, I was just watching it too, and I mean, I've always thought that the brothers, they're complete douches, but I think that's what makes the dialogue, their shitty dialogues, work so much because they actually are fucking idiots.
Yeah, like, you know, he gets fucking shot in the...
Oh, I get it.
I think if they were really... Better. Okay. I understand where you're coming from, totally. But yeah, they're just so douchey. And when they say shit, you're just like, what the fuck?
Douchey's the perfect word.
You're like, you guys are fucking idiots. So if they started saying witty things, I would have been like, oh, that doesn't really fit their character.
No, yeah.
But it's like some of the dialogue is just like completely just like... Like, there's an example where, like, the nurse is on top of the girl, and she's like, don't die on me, you whore. And it's like, well, that's, like, really simple, right? Like, can't you just have a little bit, like, more? Like, it's supposed to be like that, though,
Jim.
I understand it's supposed to be intentionally bad, but there's a more creative way to be intentionally bad than just writing the first thing that pops into your head, is what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that this is a huge problem. It's just one thing that I found was, like, I've seen... more clever things than like, and then it to me it just was like it the dialogue was written in without even a second thought, and I kind of don't like that no matter what you're dealing with, if it's supposed to be like that or not. I think it you can do better. Like, I know this guy could have came up with some better shit, and I think he just went with the first things that he thought of.
It's his first feature-length film. You gotta cut him a break.
Well, Jason Eisner didn't write I don't think he wrote the screenplay for it. I think there was an actual writer for it, but that's besides the point.
I mean, it's a fun-ass movie.
It's a fun movie. The last sequence is just such a blast.
Yeah, it was written by a guy named John Davies. Yeah,
it's just so gory and so fun, blood squirting, you know, you know, Dead Alive type gore at the end of the film. It's just a whole bunch of fun.
Totally.
Yeah. It's just a movie that, you know.
Now, I will say that the main villain I thought was done really well. Like, that's on the flip side. I thought he had some cool dialogue. It was still bad dialogue, but it was more entertaining. It seemed like it was more thought out, and it seemed like the other stuff was just like, fuck, damn it, whore.
But once again, I think it comes down to the actual characters. Like, the guy that's running the whole show, the mob boss, probably should be a little more witty, considering he's got a whole operation. But like, his sons are complete fucking
douches. It wasn't just the sons, though. Like, I gave the example of the nurse on top of the girl and was like, don't die on me, you whore. It's funny, though. I didn't find it funny. That's my thing. I found, like, the funny stuff, like, the kids, like, getting burned up and, like, the fucking heads being ripped off and stuff like that. That was funny to me.
See, I found the funniest kill in the movies in the beginning with the bumper cars with the guy's head getting fucking annihilated.
Yeah, that's funny. But, and the kid who's like, Mom, I'm telling you, I need my allowance early. Like, yeah, that's funny. But the shit that's like, just like cussing and just like just simple, like, it's well, like, not like a 5-year-old wrote it.
Have you seen Gutterballs?
No.
You not like Gutterballs then?
It's not that I don't like it. I still really like the movie. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I'm saying you won't like the dialogue though, because Gutterballs is fuck, 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 fuck out of every other word is fuck. But
I think
that's fine. I mean,
like,
a Tarantino film has a lot of fucks in it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not about. It's just that it's the way that it was done. It was just like. It just didn't have any like weight to it to me. I don't know. It was. Just one thing that I've noticed that I didn't really care for too much. But, I mean, there was a lot of things I liked about this one. I actually really surprisingly liked the cheesy angle of the hobo and the hooker. And I was almost expecting a sequel film like One-Armed Hooker with a Hatchet or One-Armed Hooker with a Chainsaw or
something.
Come
on, spoilers, man. Giving spoilers away.
That's funny that you mentioned cheesy relationship between, you know, the hobo and the hooker. I thought that in the beginning of the film made me laugh so fucking hard when Rutger Hauer is looking in the pawn shop and he sees the lawnmower for sale and it's like $49.99. And like the music kind of cuts and is real cheesy and he's kind of like, and you're like, oh, he's going to do something with his life. You're already rooting for him and shit. It's so cheesy.
And then he sees Santa Claus fucking.
Yeah.
This is so good. There is dialogue that I thought was funny. Like when they're like, we need to go start our own business. No, it's like, I need to buy a lawnmower so I can start my own business. And she's like, no, we. Like, I thought that shit was funny. But there's just like so many other parts that I thought the dialogue was almost awful, honestly. But yeah, I mean, like the relationship between those two, I found it to be really, like, really entertaining. Like I was expecting it to come off like forcibly bad, like type of things, but no, it was really like well done. I liked it.
It's just funny how like corrupt the police force really is. Like that guy he's like on the same douchebag level as the fucking brothers a little bit.
I almost wish they would have went even more, like, over the top with the town. Like, I remember seeing films like Class of...
Nukem High.
1999, or Class of 1984, one of those films, and it's, like, it's really over the top, like violent, like crazy town. Like, I kind of wish it would have been a little more like that. I mean, it still was pretty...
That was one thing that I actually had I criticized too was the city, the look of the city too. I was kind of hoping it to be a little more like what were you kind of looking for? I was looking for maybe a little more destruction and you know just
yeah,
obvious that
some,
it was
like,
post-apocalyptic.
Fucking buildings on fire and shit, and fucking people driving around in like almost like Mad Max type fucking cars.
Actually, that would be pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
I never thought about the Mad Max cars.
But I think they don't do that because I think they're afraid of the consequences of them building those type of things because, you know, the main leader dude's a total dick.
Now, was this filmed in a foreign land?
It was filmed in the foreign land of Canada, more specifically Nova Scotia.
Okay, I thought so.
Yeah.
which is not too far away from you, right, Moods?
Nova Scotia is completely on the opposite side of Canada.
Fuck! My geography of Canada should get better.
Dude, it doesn't really matter. It's fucking one place.
You two are just a hop, skip, and a jump from where this was filmed. I am, on the other hand, I'm so fucking far away from it. I couldn't be any further away from where this is filmed.
I remember because I saw a fucking Class of Nukem High Volume 1 or fucking playing in that fucking town.
Yeah.
Ooh. How did we not mention this? The fucking glass eating scene was so fucking well done. Oh, damn. That bothered me, man.
It's so badass, man. I love that scene.
Oh, it's not badass. It's fucking terrible. Oh,
it's awesome,
it
man.
Really got to me, dude. Like, I don't know. I was like, don't fucking eat it. Don't put that in your mouth. Chew it? What are you talking about? Chew it.
Yeah, but it gets his revenge, though.
It's like stabbed in the eye.
And I like that dude. That dude who was like doing the bum fights thing, like I thought that dude had some funny shit to say.
Yeah, it's a fun film, man. I really like it. I thought Jason Isaacs for his first full length film, like, he fucking did a good job, man. Really good job with this.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun movie. It just sucks there's not going to be a sequel.
I know that was. It's kind of a downer, actually, to be honest, but. I don't know. I mean,
he has a bright future anyway, so
it's cool in itself that there, you know, probably will never be a sequel to this unless they come up with something like completely retarded.
I got to give Jason Isner credit. He commented on my video of my review that I did when it first came out. I found that like the coolest fucking thing ever. He actually commented on my video.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it's even more amazing that
he's just chilling on fucking YouTube, typing in "hobo with a shotgun" every 10 minutes and. Yeah.
Well, I watched the first day it came out. I did my review because I fucking loved the film so much. So I think that was like the first review I ever did. I didn't do reviews before I met you guys, so you guys should be happy.
That tends to happen.
Yeah,
I think it was really cool that how they got Rutger Hauer to do the part in this. Like it started out as a joke, right?
Yeah,
they were just kind of mentioning people's names that they had an interest to do the lead, and they're like, "Oh, well, let's see if Rutger Hauer will fucking do the part," and then he totally accepted it. Like, just totally random.
I couldn't think of anybody else being a better hobo though. Then, you know, he just plays it so good.
He does play it off well, man. He's that perfect age, and just that look to him is just perfect, man.
I think the toboggan really, really, really brings out his hobo-ness.
Oh,
his hobo-ness.
Awesome.
The homeless.
Yeah.
You ever see the South Park Night of Living Homeless?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
It's a good one.
They only had cherry pop tarts. We're on strawberry pop tarts. Fucking fart made me crack up.
But so yeah, it's like, what else can we say about Hobo with a Shotgun? It's just a fantastic film.
It's a film everybody should watch. You should check out Shock Festival, put out by a fucking Romero's son. It's a 3-disc set put out a while ago. It's a whole bunch of fake trailers and Grindhouse stuff. It's a really cool set.
One thing we didn't mention was this film was one of the fake trailers. Originally, right on the Grindhouse.
Yep. Yeah, the whole thing with the fake trailer thing was that was the competition, right? And that's what it was. It was he won the competition.
Yeah,
to have his fake trailer in the Grindhouse films when it was showed in theaters, and then they just went forward and made the film. I mean, it's so disappointing that you know a couple of those other fake trailers weren't
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that Hobo won the contest and end up being, you know, made and stuff, but man, Thanksgiving I want made so bad. That trailer, dude, every time I watch it, I love that trailer, man.
Yeah, the fucking trampoline scene just makes me fucking mad.
But it's throughout the whole trailer of Thanksgiving. I keep wanting to say Thanksgiving is the voice in the background that just keeps saying Thanksgiving for the whole fucking thing. I fucking love that so much, man. It's so cheesy and awesome. But yeah, the trampoline. Oh, that movie would just be a blast.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Eli Roth, you hear us, makes Thanksgiving.
And the motherfucker that pisses me off about him is he keeps saying he's going to. Like, dude, either just don't do it and tell us, like, you know, it was a cool idea at the time, but it's really not my thing. Don't keep telling us you're going to do it and then never do it, asshole.
Fucking dick.
Well, considering, I mean, the Green Inferno wasn't even, like, it wasn't even a, a forthcoming film when he did the trailer for Thanksgiving, right?
But he just recently said again, it was like a couple months ago, that like Thanksgiving, I almost said Thanksgiving too. The Thanksgiving is like still something he's interested in. So like quit saying you're going to do it and, you know, be about it.
Just make the fucking movie. Like, seriously, everybody wants to see it.
Dude, okay, I'm sure you can make it in like a week if you really wanted to.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Doesn't even have to make it long. Just make it like an hour or something. Entertaining film like fucking Manborg, and people will buy that shit up in no time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So, anything else you want to say about Hobo?
See it. Everyone see it.
I rate it a 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I give it a 9 out of 10.
I will also give it an 8 out of 10. Yeah, it's a good rating.
Right. Cool. So, yeah. I hope you guys enjoyed this 6th episode of the 22 Shots of Moods and Horror podcast. Lots of interesting stuff going on right now in the horror world, especially with the Friday the 13th shit going on. We all watched a pretty good selection of shit on the shit-stained films. Next week we'll be talking about Dark Knight of the Scarecrow, which is one of the best made-for-TV horror films ever made. And the Blu-ray transfer is fucking phenomenal. But we'll talk about that next week. So thanks again, everybody, for watching. I am your host, NESRuro22. You can follow me on my channel at youtube.com/NESRuro22. You can follow JP over at his channel at youtube.com/DoubleShotJ. Of course, you can follow this is YouTube celebrity Moods over at his channel at youtube.com/mood616. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode once again. Please let us know what your top films of 1978 are down in the comments below. We always are reading those comments. So please let us know what you think of the show. And
shout out to David.
Yeah, shout out to David, man. He always leaves the fucking badass comments.
Also, we have a Facebook group page now if you're interested in that.
Yep. We'll put a link to that in the description, right, Moods?
Yes.
You set up the upload. So put a link down to that if you guys want to join that. We have a little bit of a group going on over there because Moods added a whole bunch of people, which is just fun. So, yeah. Thanks again, everybody, for watching. Hope everyone has a good rest of their weekend. And we should talk to you guys again next Saturday night. Peace.
Peace out, homies.